Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio! Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
Yakuza Kick Radio!
The Yakuza Kick Radio!
This is the bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio, Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us!
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Abbott, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
The shit is bananas.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope on this cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. Ow.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is August 31st, 2012. It's a Friday. I don't even know if I've ever done a Friday show. It's always possible. Who knows? Anyway, welcome to the show. I just figured I'd do another one this week. I did. I'm waiting for this music to settle down so I ain't got it. You know what I mean? man, I'm tired of shit tonight, but... once I put out there that I'm going to do something, I do it. That's kind of the type of guy I am. So anyway, yeah, there goes the music. Welcome to the show. I have some stuff to talk about, you know, for those regular listeners that I have out there. Wednesday I did a tribute to the late, great J.C. Bailey. Yesterday was the 2-year anniversary of his passing. And... you know, at the young age of 27 years old. So on Wednesday, I felt it was only right for me to put on a show that actually, you know, highlighted that guy, just keep his name alive the best I could. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope that I did that man some justice. His father was supposed to come on, and it slipped his mind. You know, he had some other stuff to tend to. And I've been in contact with him since, and hopefully he's going to be able to listen to the show before next week's show and come on next week's show and, you know, let everybody know what he feels about everything that was said about his son on, you know, this past Wednesday's show. So anyway, I did not want to give my listeners one single week without me being a douche, and sure couldn't do it on the show where I was paying homage to a guy that I highly respect. So I figure, let's do another show where I could just talk shit and do what I normally do. So here it is. You know what? I think I want to start out with a story from last night. Okay. Here's what happened last night. I went to this Chicken John in Long Beach Island over here, LBI as the cool kids call it. I think I've been there. This shit is like probably 20 minutes or whatever the fuck from my house. And I've probably been there one other time in my entire life, like when I was 10 or some shit like that. And, you know, I've always heard about all this shit and people, oh, I'm going to LBI, fucking LBI, this, that, but, another joint I heard about for years and years is, they call it the Chegg. It's the chicken or the egg is the name of the joint. And, shit, I like chicken, chicken wings and, you know, hot wings and that type of stuff. So, I figure, you know, I keep hearing about, yeah, they got, like, fucking 15 varieties of hot wings and, like, the top one is, like, fucking crazy, and I'm like, dude, I ain't trying to go with that shit that, yeah, we're gonna fucking rip out your stomach lining on this meal, you know, so I'm not one of those dudes that, like, I want the hottest shit in the world, but if I hear, like, all the fucking best shit in the world about a chicken joint, like, eventually, you know, it's 20 minutes or half hour from my house, because that bitch is, that fucking island is long as the fucking name says, they ain't bullshitting, so, you know, to get on to the motherfucker, yeah, 15, 20 minutes from my house. And then you just keep driving and driving, like, how long is this motherfucker? And you just keep passing shit and passing shit and expecting where you're going to be, like, any minute, but you just keep driving. I kept hearing about this shit. I'm like, yo, fuck it, I want to try this shit out. And obviously, you know, they must have some banging shit. People keep talking about the goddamn chicken. So, and I love a chicken. So, I go down there with my friend Corey. Her neighbor and her other friend, Jen, who's like a dude I work with, daughter type thing. So we all go down there to do that thing. It's like probably like 9 o'clock or something. We leave. We go down there. It seems like it takes forever to get there. It was like probably 35 minute trip or some shit like that. So we finally get there and stuff, and Corey's on this mission. She's going to try, like, the hottest shit that they got. It's called Ludicrous. Ludicrous wings and shit. So, and mind you, she doesn't eat meat. She's one of those rabbits. She's just, like, vegetables and, like, she grazes off the lawn and whatever else goes on in that world. So, she's got, like, the tofu wings or whatever the fuck they is. And, but it's got that sauce, that Ludicrous sauce on it and shit. And the funniest shit is because, you know, I get, like, you know, some old, like, medium shit, which is, like, halfway up the scale. Like, this shit goes crazy. Like I was probably, like, six levels up what I ordered. And I think I ordered about right. Like, it was a good spice, and, you know, I enjoyed the taste. You know, 12 wings, did that up. And, you know, good stuff. Not, you know, really not, I don't know. I kind of want to call them overrated just because I've heard too much. So, I, you know, not that it was bad whatsoever. I enjoyed it, but, like, damn, I would guess that I'll never go there again just because, like, it's far as fuck. For being so close to me, it's far as hell. For chicken, come on, man. I could do, you know, near as good closer, and I don't travel that far just for food. You know, if you're somewhere and they have some good shit, then, yeah, let's go get that. But, you know, I don't know. So anyway, she's doing this fucking tofu wing with the loot. And the funniest thing was when fucking we all order and shit. And like Corey, I think, was the last one to order. And we go around the table. Okay, I'll have this. Okay, I'll have this. Okay. And the dude's just jotting shit down. This is like a pretty big, like, tatted up dude with a bandana on and shit. And looks like some kind of, like, dude be surfing, like, 5 days a week type shit. But he's all, like, you know, decent sized dude. And, she's like, yeah, I want the fucking veggie fucking wings, Ludicrous. And he just stops writing and just makes eye contact with her. And she looks back at him, and he's like, really? And she's like, yeah. He's like, that's horrible. Like, you don't want to do that. Like, I've never seen somebody in a food establishment stop writing the fucking orders, look at the fucking person ordering and go, don't do that shit. What are you fucking, like, that shit isn't even good. That's fucking horrible. That shit will fuck you up. And she's like, no, no, I want to see how I can handle it. He's like, all right, fine, fine. Writes the shit down and fucking walks away. Comes back with the stuff. And like that, you know, I mean, the wings weren't bad on my end. I mean, definitely, I mean, good. You know, straight up good wings. But then she got through three of the six that she ordered or whatever, these little fucking fake chicken nugget things covered in fucking lava sauce or whatever the fuck it was. And I'm sitting there taping the shit with my iPad and shit and making stupid comments and fucking laughing at her as her eyes tear up. And she's fucking, she's like, I can feel this stuff, like, really hurting me little by little. Like, at first she tried to be badass, and then it built up to like, you know, this isn't working out for her. You can see where she's starting to like make excuses, and the shit's like, well, you know, I don't, maybe another one of these and I'll be good. And I'm like, oh, here we go. It took her, I think it was like, what the fuck was it? Oh, I forget, because I got the video on my iPad, but it was something stupid, like three wings and like 25 minutes or 28 minutes or some shit like that. And I'm like, damn, it ain't even wings, whatever the fuck that is, coated in the wing shit. And I'm just like, damn, this is fucking crazy. So, and you know, and they're even like, yeah, you want to, you know, you wrap the mother joints up and bring them home with you? She's like, no, get it away from me. just fucking take that shit. I don't want to remember this. And so that was that. Then, you know, we get the check or whatever, and it's like 50-something bucks for the four of us, right? So, now the dudes, and we're like, yo, can we get, like, separate things? And he's like, no, we don't itemize at all. He's like, you can split it in half and pay with two different forms of, like, payment type shit, but they don't itemize at all. Like, they don't allow that. So, I'm like, all right, well, I mean, I ain't really got cash on me. I got, like, couple dollars, throw a tip down on the table, but I got the card. So, and yeah, the one other chick's like, yeah, I got a card too. So Corey gives me like 10 bucks like towards her thing, which covered what she was doing, because she just got like the water and this fucking the rabbit food covered in fire. And I was like, all right, so yeah, we're good. And then I just put our part on the card, which, you know, like, she gave me 20 bucks or 10 bucks, so everything in, I was going to put 22 bucks on my card, right? So now I go up to the front, and here's this dumb bitch. And she's standing there looking like she don't know what the fuck's going on with life, let alone in the joint. So I'm like, all right. You know, I handed her a receipt, because now the other chick's holding the receipt in her card, and she's trying to figure out the fuck. And I'm like, no, give me that. I got, you know what I mean? I ain't trying to have that. So I grabbed a receipt and had to check my card, and I'm like, yo, so we had the medium wings, a soda, and that six piece with the Luda shit. And she's like, I'm not going to do the math for you. I looked at her, I was like, what the fuck? Like, yeah, granted, I was standing there with an iPad, but this bitch had a computer in front of her, so she's going to tell me now she ain't going to do the fucking math for me. In the most retarded fucking way of reading off a sentence, like she had a teleprompter that had a lag on it or something. You know what I mean? Like, this stupid bitch. So I'm like, yo, what the fuck? So now I'm looking at the receipt. I'm like, all right, okay, all right, like $22. So now I hand this bitch the shit, and she swipes my shit, and she's like, all right, oh my God, I always do this. Oh God. Rob, or whoever the fuck dude behind her was, and he's doing some other shit, you know what I mean? So he gets done with these, and she's like, what? And he's like, what? He's like, I always do this. Like, how do I fix this? And I'm just looking at this bitch like, what the fuck you need to fix? So I'm like, something's up here, right? So then she's like, okay. And he's like, yo, hit cancel, and then go to the thing, and then, all right, now swipe it again. And she swipes it again, and then hands me a thing, a receipt, you know, to sign for $22. So, boom, I sign the thing for $22. I take the card back. I take, like, two steps back, and now I'm, like, 2 feet away from this bitch just talking shit. Like, this bitch is dumb as fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know why they let people out of their house for the stupidest shit like this. And, you know, the other chick's bringing up the other part of stuff. So I'm just like, All right, man. This bitch is stupid as fuck. Like, seriously, like, somebody should euthanize this thing to sitting behind the counter because she's just dumb. Like, she's clearly only here to, like, bang the rest of the dudes that work here and do nothing positive for this business. Like, it's nothing. And there's, like, these big, like, like, wall mural things of, like, chickens. But I'm like, you know, this is all she's here for. And I'm pointing at the chickens. I'm like, the cock, that's all she's here for. She has nothing to contribute to this establishment other than those things on the wall right there. And I'm just talking shit. She's got to hear me or whatever. But, like, she's already fucked me, you know what I mean? So I pretty much guessed that, like, something was up. And I'm like, yo, she had to fuck me because, like, this bitch is dumb. And then the other chick rings up and she's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, something seemed wrong. I don't know. So she does that. Now she signs for her like 30 something bucks between the two of them. Boom. Shit's paid for. We leave. And I'm like just stressing, like from there to like the one chick needed to get cigarettes. And the next while I was like, fucking like 10 minutes up the road. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm just going to go and check my balance and shit because I got a bad feeling about this bitch. I go in there, I'm like, I just got paid like that morning and shit. I'm like fucking 70 bucks shorter than where I fucking showed up at. And I paid for $20-something and didn't spend shit since I got my check. So I'm like, wow, like this bitch charged me the whole fucking thing, the $50-something plus the $22 that I was supposed to fucking get. So then I checked my account today and it says some shit like, pending on the merchant's final whatever the fuck, this amount may change. So I'm imagining the amount's going to change because I only signed one motherfucking slip and it wasn't for no $50. But somehow my account's less like 70 bucks off of a fucking $20 exchange off of this dumb bitch that would not do the math for me. Like, yo, fucking, I mean, I was mad as fuck the whole way home. I was like, yo, this dumb motherfucker. I can't fucking tolerate people like this living on the same planet as me. I really can't. I can't do it. So that was my last night's experience. And, I'm going to, just let it ride for the weekend because it still hasn't officially processed. And, right on my account, it's telling me like, this shit might change depending on what the merchant does type shit. And, they got a verifier or whatever, and they don't have any verified slip of that $50 transaction, so that shit better end up back on my fucking account come Monday, or I'll be at the bank, and then I'll, from what I hear, you got to fill out some shit that more or less reports an error on their end, and hopefully that bitch loses her job, and, her mother kicks her out of her fucking house, and, who knows? Who knows what happened? But, just type annoying. So, I didn't enjoy that fucking outing. So, it's way too far from my fucking house for, good chicken, but again, I don't travel for just food. So, that was that. What else do I got? Let me see. I got so many, I got random topics. I do have some wrestling to talk about. I know, it's kind of like a wrestling show or so I've told people and then now they're going to hold me to it. Bastard. Lance Armstrong, I heard a bunch of shit about this. He had, the whole thing go on where, he had been racing and just winning every goddamn one of them Tour de France joints with the fucking little bikes, which I've told you how I feel about those fucking bikes in the past when they cluster together on the side of a fucking road and act like they're a car. Back in the Donald Duck cartoons and shit, the bees would all swarm together and look like they were a missile or some shit. This is how these motherfuckers ride up the side of the street. Like, yeah, we're a vehicle now. No, you're not. You're one asshole on a bike times 10, 15. And now you're fucking one of you is like fucking wobbling a little bit. You're way past the line. You could get clipped by a smart car and all of you would be dead. I hate these fucking people. But anyway, king of these fucking retards, Lance Armstrong. Had ridden up the side of the fucking road for, all sorts of time. And the Tour de France up and down fucking hills and mountains and all this shit. They had, I heard this from the Dr. Drew said it because I heard a bunch of people comment it. But Dr. Drew said it on the Corolla show. He said the dude had legitimately gotten steroid tested, legitimate, not even exaggeration, 500 times through his career. 500 times. And these French motherfuckers were just like, no, we want to have this. This American fucking, we want to have this. Yeah, I don't have any French accent. And fucking, they're just like, yo, we got to find out. Let me find out. We need to get rid of this motherfucker. What's up, Brent? We gotta strip this dude. So one way or another, we gotta make sure this American just does not rule our fucking little biking sport. This is not going down for us. Fuck this. So then they keep prodding. Finally, they come up with like enough people to like, yeah, I seen him do it. And they're like, well, that's good enough for me. All right, strip him of all of his wins. All right, first off, that shit is impossible. You can't. They've been doing this shit in college football. They, you know, even the Sandusky thing. Which, listen, man. Ain't nobody on that motherfucking team seen the shit. The other dude seen. I mean, Sandusky was doing the shit. The other guy seen the shit. Reported the shit. But they kept it under wraps. None of the players were keeping it under wraps because I don't think they knew shit about it. Now, their wins got fucking stripped. Oh, they didn't win those games anymore? Yeah, I don't feel that's fucking credible. This guy, he did steroids. Well, that's not good anymore. You didn't win. You didn't win anymore. No, I kind of fucking think he did. And, when you look across the board, a lot of fucking people do steroids. Just because the motherfucker who won was doing it too doesn't mean the motherfucker who was in second place didn't do it. You just ain't testing the losers, first off. You know, the same thing, like fucking, McGuire and fucking Sosa and all that shit. Fucking, I'm not a baseball fan, and let me tell you something. I was a baseball fan up until the fucking strike. I used to go to baseball games. I used to watch baseball games, all that shit. The strike happened, and I lost interest. I found other shit to do, and by the time it came back, I didn't give a fuck. I was like, this shit is too slow. I don't give a fuck no more. Go fuck yourself with your baseball. The only thing that caught my interest whatsoever was the home run race. And everyone in that fucking race was juiced out of their fucking skulls. And you know what? That was the one fucking thing that pulled a lot of people back into baseball. A lot of them stayed for good. A lot of them came back to, you know, watching baseball, and they stayed for good because of that fucking race. Now, I watched it for that brief period, and then I fell back off, and that whole thing died down. Like, oh, well, you know, we're never going to see something like that again. And I really don't give a shit. I hate the Yankees off of fucking principle. I was brought up a Mets fan, so I just hate the Yankees off of principle. I really don't even root for anybody anymore. I just hope that they lose all the time. But you know, they're obviously a dream team. They're always in the running. You know, like everybody bitches about the Miami Heat for the past couple of years, and the Yankees bought their team for fucking as long as they've been good. So but this is what I mean. Like, oh, steroids are terrible. Steroids are terrible. Oh, yeah. Guys hitting fucking, 25 home runs would have clearly brought baseball back. You know, everybody would have really tuned in for that shit. And don't give me this shit either. Like, dude, all right. If somebody pops off and as soon as they hit fucking more home runs than anybody has ever done in the history of fucking baseball, and then you're like, hey, man, something's up. That vein in your fucking forehead's eyeing me. Let's go down and get some tests done because I'm kind of suspicious on what might be going on in your bloodstream right now. I don't know. Something's up. There's like three of you guys just fucking breaking the home run record at the same time. And now you're racing to see who's better than the other all at the same time. I mean, if you want to call them down there right then and there, fucking test them and see what's up. All right. If you want to wait till motherfuckers are in the record books and now all of a sudden they're up for Hall of Fame ballots and now you're like, oh, I don't know, let's go back. Oh, Jose said you were on the juice. Oh, really? You motherfuckers couldn't look at that guy and know he was on some shit. Look at his rookie card and look at it when he was popping off. It was good as fuck for the league when he was popping off, so nobody wanted to take tests then. Nobody wanted to expose him, and then Jose said you're on the juice. We didn't know until he said something. Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. Jose came out on being on steroids long before he fucking started talking shit about McGuire, and fucking McGuire looked mad bigger than fucking Jose ever looked. Seriously, like, his fucking shit was looking ridiculous. He had that fucking, like, his neck was bigger than his face, and his fucking, I mean, he didn't look like a fucking athlete. He just looked like a fucking animal. Like, he just stood there, like, fucking drooling at the plate and just knocking shit, like, two blocks out of the fucking stadium. Like, that shit isn't normal. Like, oh, wow, that went in the lake, and we're not even fucking, we're not even bordered by a lake. Look at that. Come on, man. You knew it, and then someone else calls it out like 5 years later or 3 years later, and then it's like, oh, so we gotta start testing. Like, what do you mean? Why do you wait till people fucking trump everybody and then go, hey, maybe we should rein that in? Maybe halfway through the season when he's got 45 home runs, you go, hey, dude, do you want to take some tests before the season is over and you're called the best home run hitter of all time? No, we're going to let this ride because the fans are on their fucking seats. The attendance is at an all-time high. We couldn't get the fans back for shit off that strike, and now look at us. Oh, man, we're fucking packing stadiums for people are making signs on, you know, the next number that McGuire is going to hit and Sosa is going to hit. Now you got Chicago fans, and you got the Cardinal fans, and you got, you know, the Griffey fans, and then, oh, years later, you got the Bonds fans, and, oh, man, they're just showing up with signs and Sharpies and just fucking keeping tally on this shit. Bigger following than baseball ever had, as far as I'm concerned. That's just how I see it. But, and the same thing goes for fucking, Lance Armstrong. You let this fucking guy win all the fucking titles, and then after all the titles, you're like, hey, bro, I think you're, you're up to something. I know you had 500 tests. I know. But listen, we heard some guy saw you do it, so now we're going to go ahead and take your stuff away. But you can't do that shit. That's like let everybody win every fucking thing and then just be like, all right, now we're going to take your stuff away. That's like, all right, say a husband cheats on his wife or something. And the wife's like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and declare that I never fucked you. You know, you were not loyal to me. So guess what? You never had sex with me. I'm actually a virgin again. You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. You got to fucking understand that these people were part of the league that you put on. Just like in that situation, you were still married to the dude that did such and such. Yeah, it's a scar on your fucking league. It's a scar on whatever if you want to expose it as that. But you can't pretend like it didn't exist anymore. We disown you as a player. Oh, did you? I mean, come on, man. You were half the fucking popularity of the league for all those fucking years. Nobody was worried about the most fucking on-base percentage guy when fucking McGuire, Sosa, and fucking Griffey were knocking shit out of the fucking town that they were playing in. Nobody was like, oh, yeah, but you know what the stolen base leader is? Like, hey, come on, man. Get off my dick. That shit is retarded. Completely retarded. All right, hold on. I got a call. Let me see what this is. Hey, who's this?
I guess you know who it is.
Oh!
What's up, Kunzi?
What's going on, Lily?
I had to call in and see what was good.
Yeah, I'm just talking shit about the steroid stuff right now.
I hear you.
What's your feelings on all this, man? Because they let people win everything under the globe, and then they're like, you didn't win it anymore.
I just tuned in just now. I just heard a little bit.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with Lance Armstrong.
Oh, yeah, Lance Armstrong.
They let him win 85 titles, and they're like, ah, you know what, we heard someone saw you do something. He took 500 steroid tests in his career, and they decided afterwards, oh, someone's seen you do it. You didn't win nothing. I don't get it.
That's preposterous, bro. That's nonsense, especially if you had, like, the Mark McGuire's and what's her name, Marion Jones and everybody that tested for the steroids and all that. I mean, if he got tested and he passed all the tests, let that man go.
Mm-hmm.
Let him enjoy his titles.
500. Test took in his career, and after his career, they're like, you know what? You didn't actually win anything. We heard some guys saw you do some shit. Like, really? How does that work?
That's bullshit.
It just bothers me, man. I'm not even one of these biking guys. I don't even like bikes like that. But it's crazy. It's crazy, man. So anyway, I mean, now that I got Leo on the line, I might as well talk a little football because
dude
knows some football. My dude knows some football. Yeah, I mean, I've never said it on the air, but congrats to your G-Men winning the Super Bowl. And then, you know, letting some of your guys come over to the good guys, you know?
Oh, yeah. You got a couple of our good guys.
Yeah.
You got our running back, our receiver. You got Jacobs over there. He got hurt, though, already.
Nah, he'll be all right. He'll be all right. They thought it was worse than it was, and he'll be all right.
He just got to stop taking them low hits. They got to stop being afraid to hit him up top.
Oh, yeah.
They're in the NFL, man. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, but when you got Frank Gore, Kendall Hunter, the young buck, and then you got Brandon Jacobs in there, I mean, that's a trio.
Man.
You got a lot more to take out than just Brandon. So.
Yeah, I never put it on air, but, man, I was on the edge of my seat when the Giants played the Niners.
Oh, yeah.
I was
man.
On the edge
that
of
was,
my seat.
That was a game. That was a game, man.
Triple,
we were two,
triple overtime.
Two bad plays. From being in the Super Bowl, and yeah, I mean, once y'all got it, you know, you went ahead and took it. That was it. You took that Super Bowl once you got them, you know, them breaks off of us. But, you know, this is how the game works. It comes down to a couple of plays in a lot of the biggest games.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But, I mean, so what do you think about your guys this year?
I'll tell you the truth. Looking kind of sharp, man. Looking kind of sharp. Well, I like how Dave. I like how Wilson run. We got the rookie running back from Virginia Tech. He looking kind of sweet back there in the backfield. You know, Cruz, Hakeem Nicks back. You know.
Right. Yeah, I mean.
We just
Cruz
got to get Chris Canty back in the line. We got the big boy Joseph doing his thing.
Right. Definitely, man. But,
yeah.
I mean, you guys open up on Wednesday against some Cowboys. I know.
Yeah.
The thing is the Cowboys right now to me look like slouches. I don't really see
it's
anything impressive
Cowboys,
about them.
Man.
But
me
the, neither. But the thing is that whole division got each other's number. Like, they could be the
mm-hmm.
worst team in the league, and they play each
mm-hmm.
other hard as hell.
Mhm. It always go down with the Giants, Cowboys, and Eagles.
And then that's the other thing that you got to fight in that division, man. You got RG3.
Well,
with them Redskins, that's going to be a new
look
team.
Talk about RG3. I picked him up on my fantasy.
Oh, you ain't stupid, man. You ain't stupid because that's. I'm telling you.
I picked up Frank Gore on my fantasy.
Hey, again, you ain't stupid.
I picked up AP on my fantasy.
Yeah, well, you better hope with that one because AP depends on what he shows up like. There's two different APs. There's the best running back in the league, and then there's the, you know, well, he plays for the Vikings, AP.
You know, I picked up Mark Ingram. I got a backup.
Okay. I know, Jones-Drew, he's another one of those guys that You get your hands on that guy, and that guy becomes happy with his team. Well, then you got it back. But I don't know. There's a lot going on there. But and the other team, obviously, you know, you got to deal with them Eagles. You know, I don't know. They keep predicting stuff for themselves, but they fall short every year. But definitely got something to battle with them.
I'm gonna see. The Cowboys haven't won an opening yet, and they damn sure is not gonna try to win an opening when they play us on the 5th.
They got another thing coming. I hear you.
And Cowboys fans don't even like their own quarterback.
For the most part, I got one dude I'm friends with, and he's a Cowboy fan, and you know, that's like the worst thing to be friends with me and be a Cowboy fan because you're gonna always hear it. I hate the Cowboys. But he's like, you know, Tony Romo gets too much shit, and he's like, you know, he's not that bad of a quarterback. And same thing, I mean, I guess you'd say with Eagles fans, and, you know, some people just, they threw McNabb under the bus. But I don't know. Oh. I think McNabb was a more well-rounded quarterback than Vic. Vic's an athletic quarterback, but he takes too many risks, and he takes pain for it.
The problem with McNabb, when McNabb was at Syracuse, he was a good quarterback. He ran out of the pocket. He passed the ball. So when we get to the Eagles, I think he just had jet lag, man. He just stopped throwing the ball. He just held the ball for so long that about as soon as he released the ball, he getting sacked or he taking sacks. So you know what I mean? He just stopped playing McNabb. He stopped being McNabb. Then he went to Washington and stuck up the joint.
Yeah, well, I mean, before Washington, his Eagle run. Now, I mean, he did quite a bit for them, you know. You know, there was some surrounding parts to it. I mean, the coach had his head on a platter how many times? And in the long run, the coach is still there.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, I just want to go down this week
Hold on,
one.
Man, I'm on the phone.
This week one, then you got Indianapolis and Chicago. Chicago, I think, is going to be somewhat of a beast this year. Indy, I'm not so sure. Andrew Luck might have to develop a little more. What'd you think about that?
Who?
Indy and Chicago, first week.
Oh, Indy and Chicago with Mr. Luck.
Yeah, Andrew Luck, and then you got Chicago that ain't no joke, really, man.
Yeah, bro, Chicago, I like Chicago. I like Chicago over Indy. I mean, I'm going to say this about Andrew Luck. He ain't no Peyton Manning, and they should not compare them two quarterbacks together because Peyton Manning did more things for Indy than any other quarterback would do. So, Andrew Luck will be a good quarterback down the road, but if he try to fulfill the shoes of Peyton Manning, he's going to have a disaster season.
Well, he's got a hard act to follow either way, but, I mean, what can you do? I mean, after last year, it kind of helped
him. He's smart.
Yeah. It helps him after last year because that's an easy act to follow, but, you know, Peyton Manning in himself is not an easy act to follow. You know, last year was such a terrible season that, I mean, Andrew Luck could make that team look really good this year with 5 wins.
he still got the receiver core. But you see Peyton now with the Broncos back in the pocket throwing. He took a big hit this week and got up.
That's what I'm saying. But I think it's going to be a long season of those, and I don't know if he's going to hold up, man.
They just got to protect him. The doctor said this. They said, you know, Doc, the physician, they said, you know, if this was your son, would you let him play? He said, absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
My thing is this. Peyton Manning, if you added him to pretty much any team, that's an immediate improvement. I mean, he's one of the best quarterbacks of all time. I mean, honestly, like his field management, everything he does, he knows what he's doing. There's no maybes about it. The injury he took was so severe that it's dangerous. To be taking hits at that is dangerous. Now, Denver, last year, the only reason Denver went as far as they did, now, I mean, people take shots at Tebow, and I understand that. I was one of those guys for quite a bit of time, but he proved himself. But the only reason Denver went as far as they went, because that team would have had more sacks than any other team on the offense if it wasn't for the athletic moves that Tebow made. The athletic moves that Tebow made behind the line and made plays out would have been 15-yard sacks.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, Peyton Manning's not that type of guy. You're not going to see him making those moves. So either they're going to protect him and let him be Peyton Manning and make good throwing decisions, or he's going to get hit a lot. And that's not good. And I don't see where they actually bulk that offensive lineup any. So it's going to be the same crew that you know, dude had to make a lot of athletic moves to help himself out and help the team out, and that's not Peyton's game. And he's got week one against Pittsburgh.
Oh, so, man.
Yo,
well, you know what they're gonna do. They're gonna impose blitzing, just to try to get Peyton out of there.
Yeah.
And they gotta expect that during this whole football season. And they just gotta capitalize on their blocking. That's all. You know they want to come after the quarterback because they feel like he's injured enough. He got a neck injury, but that's what I don't understand. Just like what happened with the Saints, man. Every time the Saints played, I knew the Saints were out to hurt people. Just the way they were hitting Brett Favre, because Brett Favre was past 40, so they want to take advantage. That's not being a football player. That's being a coward.
Right. Yeah, they wanted to hurt us bad, and that's why they ended up taking that L. So, no big deal.
Yeah, okay, you can hit them, but, wow, double hits and late hits and slams to the ground and all that crazy nonsense. Come on, they're going to try the same thing with Manning.
You got Philly, Cleveland. I think that's a pretty easy pick, even though you're in the same division.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess I'm gonna have to go with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say about Cleveland. That's positive, but
I mean, the Browns—they stepped up. What last year, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing something.
And then they went back. they took their talents back to Cleveland. you know, yeah, that is. Then New England. New England playing Tennessee. You know, I don't know if that's another clear, easy win, or, I mean, New England's New England, but, you know, Tennessee's got some plus. Yeah?
I'm going to go with Tennessee just because.
Just because why? Just because, or just because you got a reason?
Just because I used to like Tennessee.
All right, well, this ain't Eddie George no more, I mean.
Yeah.
and then
I was pissed off when Vince Young was there, and he couldn't get nothing going.
What about when dude said that he could beat Usain Bolt in the 40?
Who said that?
Johnson off of there.
That'd be impossible because Usain Bolt running like a 9.6.
I know, but he said, you know, that wide receiver, he's the fastest player to ever run the 40 in the NFL, and he's like, you know what? I know he ain't trained for the 40, but I think I beat him.
Yeah, well, that could be possible. I mean, that could be possible if he got a good start. He could just keep that speed, because Usain Bolt speed don't start popping in until like mid race, like his third gear, and he just gone.
Yeah.
That's like almost at the finish line.
I know you ran crazy track and field and all that, and you know ran the good 40s and all that. So I know you know something about that, but
yeah.
I just thought when I seen that, I was like, man, that's a brave statement. Be like, yo, see that guy winning all those Olympic medals? Yeah, I'm faster than that guy, kind of. I'm a little bit.
Because you remember, because Usain Bolt got beat in 100 one year.
Right.
Was this Tyson guy? Gay?
Right,
beat him. Mm-hmm. And the reason why he beat him is because he had a quicker start. If he got a quicker start, then he can maintain his speed as he goes. Usain Bolt could be beat, but once Usain Bolt is in third gear, it's over.
Right.
It's
oh,
over.
Definitely.
Because now,
because
now people struggling to try to stay up with him. He's tall. He got longer strides. And you know what I mean? So you got to run when you run against that guy.
It's funny to me when cats get like that type of thing where like they're their fastest runners, all of a sudden it comes out with gimmicks, like he's doing the Hulk Hogan pose, and you remember back in the day,
I hate that.
Remember back in the day Michael Johnson started with the gold joints when he was running?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like everybody's like, yeah, I'm fast. Look at me. Check it out. Oh, man. You win a couple of races, Jessica. Swag.
Man, come on. What you doing to Hulk Hogan stand for, dancing and all that? You know what? That makes me want somebody to beat you.
Because
that's taunt. You don't taunt. That pissed me off, man. That pissed me off, Jane.
I hear you, man. Well, Atlanta playing Kansas City, week one.
Atlanta and Kansas City. Ooh, Julius Jones.
Yeah.
Michael Turner.
That's pretty bad backfield right there. And I mean, overall, I think Atlanta's got a pretty good team. And I mean, they've been kind of up and down, but they should be better than what they are, you know, or were last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're at Kansas City, but I don't know. I still got to go
Kansas
Atlanta
City,
there.
You know, they could be sneaky. They could sneak up on the team.
Yeah. I don't know what you think about that. If you had to guess. If you had to guess, who would you take? See, next week, man, this is crazy because next week, man, I start with my motherfucking picks. And I start with the points and all that stuff. So this is an easy go because come Wednesday, I'm pulling points and all that.
Let's go. I'll be tuned in.
We can do it. I won my
I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Okay. Then we got Jacksonville at Minnesota. And you got to take into factor that Jones-Drew is not scheduled to be starting this season.
Ooh, I'm happy I didn't pick him.
I mean,
somebody stole him from me too.
Dude, I don't know, man. Minnesota's nothing to talk about. But without Jones-Drew, I don't know what to talk about Jacksonville. They're talking about shipping that team to London.
Whoa,
that team, like, Goodell said he actually wants a team in London, which to me I think is crazy. Because to make it more, you know, I guess worldwide. But to me, what guy, yo, you play for the NFL, now you live in London for half the year. Who wants to do that? Nobody. Come on, man. So now you got this team, and I think they already committed to either next year or the year after to play like 5 games in London. Like, wow. And I'm saying,
it's colder.
It's being teased, but that's a long way away. I mean, if you got a family and all that, I mean, you're just going to pick up and move to London, or you're just going to be away that long? I mean, is it?
What's the purpose?
I mean, the worldwide exposure, but come on, man. This is not, you're not talking about moving, you know, a basketball team to Toronto or something like that. You're talking about London.
Okay. You might as well be with the European teams.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do that, you might as well just go and be a Canadian Football League.
Yeah. So to me, I mean, in Jacksonville as a city and everything, I would feel like the city's kind of, if they're allowing this type of thing to happen, they're kind of half bailing on that team to begin with. So I don't know.
Yeah, that was an expansion team in the first place.
Right. And they're already kind of like, well, okay, what kind of deals can we make? Get this out of here. But I don't know, man. But, yeah, Jacksonville, Minnesota, it's kind of anybody's game because if you ain't got that star back, I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, Peterson talking back, he talked to him like, yeah, he said you're going to see what he's about this season. He said he's back 100%. He said he's coming back strong.
Yeah.
They just sit back and watch. So,
and if that's possible, you take out Jones-Drew and you put up a healthy Peterson.
Oh, there's a toss-up.
Yeah. You know, the odds are against Minnesota.
And then you got on defense, you got Mr. Jarrett.
Right.
And hey, man, I don't know. It's some key players that you got to recognize in that fourth quarter.
For sure, man. And without Jones-Drew, I think that's a complete game changer. And Minnesota, everybody expects them to be terrible. And they're at home to start the season. Adrian Peterson's trying to show everybody he's not done. And you never know, man. I would go with Minnesota myself. If Jones Drew was in there, I don't think I would say that. But, yeah, I would go with that. Then you got...
You
got
to step up his game.
Yeah.
I mean, they got good receivers. They just got to get the ball to them.
Right. Then you got Washington, you know, with that RG3. Against New Orleans.
Then they got Michael James.
Yeah, without their coach in New Orleans. And,
oh, man.
You know, without big man on defense and all that. And, you know, you had talked about the hitting and stuff like that. And a lot of people have said that, you know, last year when the coach took that hit to the knee and he was on the sideline, they weren't the same team.
No.
So now without Sean Payton for the season, what do the New Orleans Saints have to offer? And what are we looking at for that team this year? Is it the same team? Will they snap back? Or are they going to be in like kind of a bad light this year?
No, you know, it's going to be a lot of checkoffs, I believe, when it comes to play calls, especially if Sean Payton is absent from the team and not the booth. I think he can't be around the team. So I think that could be a psychological effect on the players, too, because that's their head coach. Knowing that the head coach is not there to see what they're doing, you got the other coach, assistant coach, stepping up as head coach. He really behind the scenes. It's going to be a big show. I mean, Drew Brees and all the speculation on how they was cheating and putting out bounties on people.
Yeah.
All right. And now, not to pick with the victims of the hurricane, but El Katrina's over.
Yeah.
Ain't no more pity on the team and no more Super Bowls, man. No more blowing teams out like they did that year.
Well, they just got hit with Isaac. I don't know what Isaac just did to him. It didn't hit no levy.
Yeah.
But...
Isaac going to run through him too, tear him apart.
Yeah.
And I always got it, man. It's always a witchcraft practice state. And I always believe that it's some little powdery substances that's floating around in that air down there in New Orleans.
Danny hates you for that, man.
Yeah.
Man,
I know. I always tell him.
You know?
Like, man, I don't like the Saints, man.
I don't like them now, and I know we see them this year, and I know we're going to have a chip on our shoulder. We beat them in the playoffs when they were trying to hurt our dude.
And
you know
I was
mean?
Happy for that.
There is straight up audio of, like, take his head off. If you kill the head, the body goes with it types. And I'm like, whoa, like, dog, I know you're trying to fire your defense up, but yo, you're trying to take this dude's family. Like, man, you're trying to end this guy's, how he makes money. Wow. All right. All right. We'll see you this year. It's funny because, you know, Lee, I talked with Stan and whatever, and we had the game with Pittsburgh. He's like, get ready for some hitting. Get ready for some hitting. And we knocked the shit out of Roethlisberger. I was like, so what about that hitting, brother? He's like, And same thing with Danny. It was like, the hitting. I'm like, all right, we got you. Dude, we're a pretty beastly defense, and it's funny when people start talking about how our defense is going to put us out. And like, all right, well, I mean, sleep. Go ahead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I don't know. They're going to have some issues there. I'm not, you know, so convinced that RG3 is going to come out, pull a win against New Orleans week one. They have a lot to prove, too, without the coach and everything else, but... You know, should be a decent game. I definitely still think New Orleans will take that game one. Drew Brees is still an animal. And, you know, they still, I mean, you know, tight end, everything else. I mean, they got some stuff locked down there. So I still go with them, but.
No, so you're going to go with the Saints?
Yeah. Yeah, I think
so. Well, the only reason I go with the Saints is because I know what type of team they are.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have problems throughout the season, but I don't think week one is going to be their downfall. I think, you know, it'll come throughout the season, not against Washington. Washington has a new-look team. There's a lot of building to be done, and I think they'll do it, but I don't think they're just going to come out and squash New Orleans. I don't know. Buffalo at the Jets. At a Jets, man.
I'm
what a story that has.
They said they're going with the Jets because they better win, especially the comment Bart Scott made that they could be the best defense in Jet history. Not the 85 Jets. Not the 85 Jets. Nah, you're talking about this is because their safeties, their corners, their linebackers, yeah, they got good safeties. Leonard?
Yeah.
He's beast. You know, Revis and all of them back there, man. That's,
right. Well, what do you think about the biggest story of the Jets? The biggest story of the Jets. The quarterbacks.
Tim Tebow,
Mark Sanchez. What do they do?
They stink up the joint.
Both of them, right?
It's like kindergarten. It's like they're in kindergarten out there. I'm like, come on. Mark Sanchez, you've been in the league for so long. Sometimes you play good, and then sometimes you just get brain dead. You forget what's going on. And then you got Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow in the future will be a great quarterback. Will be a good quarterback. I've been saying this because he got power, he got arm power, he got some accuracy. He just needs to stop staring the receivers down, and he needs to look off safety, pump fake a little bit. Tim Tebow came from from Florida Gators. They ran the ball a lot, option and all that. So he's a running quarterback first. He's a wildcat quarterback.
Yeah.
He's never
a pocket passer.
He's not a pocket passer.
Oh, for sure. He's a playmaker, but he's not necessarily the best overall quarterback, but he can make plays. He can change games, but don't count him on every game to do that. I mean, and that's
And he needs to
kind of what Denver
earlier.
Wanted.
Not 4 minutes in the game left. Not 3 minutes in the game. Nah, not when you're down by two touchdowns and you need to score. Nah, you need to make these third down completions, the third and fours, the third and sixes, the third and twos. That's important. If you can get a first down.
But that's the craziest thing now. When you go into the season and Mark Sanchez is your starting quarterback, and now you have Tebow as your backup. Say Mark Sanchez loses the first two games of the season. Do you just pull him and put Tebow in? And do you think Sanchez is going to be a happy guy? I mean, you already got really – I mean, that's too much. It's like when you talk about Sanchez, you talk about Tebow, it's almost like you're talking about two different teams because that's two different quarterbacks, and neither one of them are quite backups. I mean, last year they both started. So now – what do you do on the same team? You pull one guy out, the other guy's not going to feel bad. Like, you're looking for trouble.
It's like they're trying to keep it as professional as they can. Oh, we didn't bring Tebow in to take your spot. We brought Tebow in to help.
Yeah, right. It's like one of those reality shows. It's like Surreal Life or when they put all those people in the house and then they just let them fight. You know, those reality shows, that's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's like, all right, we put these couple stars in here, and then we'll see, you know, hey, this week is your challenge is to get out of the game and to let that guy play. And you're like, what? Oh, man, it seems like trouble. It seems like trouble across the board, and I'm not really sure, you know?
Well, I think Tim Tebow will be traded again to another team. If Rex don't, well, it depends on how Rex feel. You know how you do.
But if he turns around and shines, you know, maybe Sanchez will wind up on another team. I don't know. It's a lot on the line there. So then, anyway, you got St. Louis at Detroit. I don't know nothing. Detroit should be decent this year.
I'm going to go with Detroit.
Yeah, not game-breaking, but decent. St. Louis doesn't really have a lot going for them. The quarterback is decent. They've done nothing to help him. So, We're going to eat them up twice this year.
Yeah, so Detroit and what they did last year.
Yeah, they got decent stuff, and, you know, they should do okay. Miami at Houston.
Texans.
Yeah. Definitely, I would go Texans, too. I mean, you know, the running game is ridiculous, of course. Miami, I don't really know what's going on. I mean, they got rid of Chad for a good reason, you know, with them headbutting a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know what good they got going on in Miami, so it seems like another easy pick. A lot of these could be easy sleepers, too. Where, I mean, all these teams know the same thing I do. And they're like, everybody says we're going to lose. All of us are straight-up dudes that want to play football, and they're saying we're going to lose. Everybody in the world is saying we're going to lose. They look at those two teams on paper, and they go, they're beat. Oh, we're beat? I mean, they might come out there like a – and it goes for any one of these teams, and I'm like, fuck them. St. Louis, what do they got? And who knows? I don't know. But I would definitely just, again, on paper, just say, Houston all day. Now, my big game. I got to find a thing. I can't talk about my team during the season without playing it. That's just not my way. This is what I do, Lee. See, you know, you missed that on this show for a long time. So now you're on it. I got to make sure I treat it the same way. Okay.
Yeah.
You got my team.
San Francisco.
Against the Packers, you know? And what a way to open up the season. What a way to open up the season. You know? You got... Oh, man.
San Francisco.
Damn right. Now, you got questionably the best quarterback in the league up against one of the best defenses in the league. And we have a lot of new offensive weapons. We have targets all over the place. But Aaron Rodgers is no stranger to his targets, and he's going to hit them.
You know what? Aaron Rodgers, man, he's a monster. You know who else? Alex Smith is a monster.
You know what? As far as that goes, I honestly think Jim Harbaugh is a monster because Alex Smith wasn't shit until Jim showed up, and now he figured out how to use Alex right. And I'm hoping this continues.
I didn't like Alex because he'll run on you, and he can run.
Well, so much, and his backup can run better than him, but, you know, I mean, Kaepernick is, you know? Colin Kaepernick, man, I don't know if you've seen what he's been doing in the preseason, but that dude is, he's on some shit. Like, he just takes off. He's out. He ran a 70-something yard touchdown this preseason. He was a quarterback.
Wow.
I mean, just beastly. Like, just took off like, oh, daylight, bye. He was out. I don't know, man. Like, I wouldn't be ashamed to take a loss here. It's one of our biggest games of the season, if not our biggest game of the season, including, well, it's kind of between this one and playing you guys because of the big, you know, NFC Championship joint.
Hoorah.
You know, rematch with some of your guys on our squad and all of that. Yeah, I mean, coming back and that type of thing. But Green Bay, I mean, Green Bay got to be – anyone who has Green Bay on their schedule has to say, man, that's going to be a rough game. And that's week one for us. So, at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's not Green Bay in December, but it's still Green Bay. And, man, that's going to be rough. But it's going to, you know, it's going to be a measuring stick. If we come out there and beat Green Bay week one, nobody's going to hear me shut up for the entire season. That's just making that prediction. Of course, I got to go with my guys because I'm just optimistic and I hope. But Green Bay's a monster. So, I mean, if we could defeat that monster, man, I'm going to be running around like fucking Hercules all year. You know? I'm ordering an 8-foot flag to go next to my stairs over here.
Ooh.
Just like one of the big joints. It just go like straight up and down. It's going to be ridiculous looking in front of my house. I'm loving it.
Yeah, that's only right. That's only right, though, because I do the same thing. I get a Giants banner.
Absolutely. Do it up. Why not?
I'm fucking around to paint my house big blue.
That's a crazy blue for a house, but have at it.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's a little bright. All right. So anyway, I don't know. I mean, who do you got in that game? I know it's at Green Bay and everything, so I ain't going to blame you if you pick them up. I mean, who do you got?
No, Green Bay and San Fran?
So, yeah, San Fran at Green Bay.
Tell you the truth, I'm going to go with San Francisco.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to go with San Francisco. I like San Francisco over Green Bay because of what Green Bay had did to the Giants.
I guess, man, because honestly, like, I was sizing motherfuckers up because when we turned that corner and we hit the playoffs, I'm like, yo, Green Bay's our target. We're going to hit that. I didn't expect y'all to get past them, and then did the thing, and I'm like, yeah, we would have done that too. Yeah, we'll get them. We got the Giants during the season. And then we made two mistakes, and boom, Giants thrust through. And I was already looking at the Super Bowl and be like, Patriots? Dude, fuck. Their defense ain't really that stout, and their offense, man, we're going to get in Brady's ass. And that's exactly what y'all did. Y'all went in there, you got in Brady's ass, you did the thing, and you took advantage of their defense. And fucking, again, congrats, Super Bowl winners. I was looking towards the future, and, you know, a couple of mistakes, and things change, and what do you do? That's the game. Then you got a showdown of two other shit teams in my division, the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. I got to go with the Seahawks. I mean, Seahawks made some moves. Arizona hasn't really done a whole lot other than, you know, they still have one of the best wide receivers in the league in Larry Fitzgerald. But other than that, what are they doing?
Larry Fitzgerald?
Yeah, they got Fitzgerald, and, you know, I mean, he's a beast. But,
yeah,
I mean, besides that, what have they done? I mean, Seattle, you know, they made a couple moves. They even had T.O. and got rid of him. So, apparently, they're confident enough that they don't even need that dude. And, I don't know. I honestly think that they'll probably play second in our division. Seattle. You got Seattle, Arizona, St. Louis, and us. And I would think we're going to take the division, and Seattle's going to come in second. So I'm going with Seattle on that one.
Seattle?
Yeah.
Yeah, I go with Seattle.
Yeah, I hear you.
Seattle did some things. It was, what, 4-7?
Yeah.
Or something like that, 4-8. And we made it to the playoffs and went past the first round. Could have got past second round. Would have messed around and won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So Seattle, I think they can step up this year and remember that.
Yeah. Well, they'll step up and then get knocked down when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers. So, yeah, I ain't making no wild card. I don't think any of that. But, you know. All right. Well, next you got the Carolina Panthers taking on the Tampa Bay Bucks. I got a good friend of mine over at the Sports Den. He, my man, Nick Russell, he's a huge Tampa Bay Bucks fan. He drinks the hell out of some Tampa Bay Kool-Aid. And he's all about them being well over 500. I don't know. I don't know about that. I know we took their heart last year, and, you know, we beat them up, and they were never the same after that. But Tampa Bay is better than what they were last year. I'll give them that. But I also think Cam Newton is an absolute beast. And I think last year, his rookie year, was not a fluke. He's going to be a staple in this league. And I think he's going to make a big mark. And, you know, when coming out against Tampa Bay, I'll take Carolina.
I'm taking Carolina, too. I'll take Carolina also.
Yeah. Then you got Pittsburgh at Denver. And again, I got to reiterate what I said. I don't think Peyton Manning's ready for Denver's offense. I think Peyton Manning is – see, the thing was is, you know, we actually – I guess they offered him a contract over here at San Francisco. Now, I was like – I would have jumped up and down and celebrated if he signed with us because I thought we were a lock for the Super Bowl. We had all the other pieces. We had good receivers, one of the best tight ends in the league, a boss defense, and then Peyton Manning. Dude, it's fucking over, you know? But that was only 2 years, and then we got to rebuild again. So that was my thing with that, was like, all right, I mean, I'll take another Super Bowl or two, but that's all he can give us. That's all he can give Denver. And I think it's going to take Denver a lot more than 1 to 3 years to build him to be that guy for their offense to click. So I'm not sold on Peyton Manning just making it happen for Denver. I mean, that team was built around him in Indianapolis, and look how long it took him to make it happen there. So,
well, he could have made it happen, what, 2 years ago when they was 12-0, and their coach decided to take them out the first quarter, which was a dumb move. And now,
oh, sure.
And now they,
sure,
they lost one game. They had a chance to beat the 72 Dolphins record. The coach was real dumb, bonehead. That was the dumbest thing I ever seen in my life from a coach in NFL history. Just let this team beat the 72 Dolphins every year. People watch and seeing if they're gonna break the record. Even the Dolphins, from the alumni team from the 72 Dolphins, be there waiting for somebody to break their records. And they had a chance. It was right in their hand. The coach, oh yeah, we're gonna take them out first quarter. Oh yeah. All right, take them out first quarter. You don't make the playoff, and you got now you lost the last three games.
Wow, yeah, man. You never know what goes through these guys' minds.
Peyton Manning could have had a Super Bowl that year. I believe they would have did it that year.
Yeah.
I believe
very
they would have did it. And he just blew it. He blew his undefeated season for that year, and being the first coach in NFL history to be undefeated. You know, and beat the Dolphins, the Central Dolphins, that'll never happen again.
Right.
You know how hard it is to go undefeated in the
NFL?
Oh,
unbelievable, yeah.
And he just, wow.
He had the control on things, man. I'm telling you, like, he's half a coach when he quarterbacks, but that doesn't, I mean, when the team's, you know, structured around him like Indianapolis was, that's why it worked. This Denver offensive line is made for you to run the fuck away from the defense, because they're not ready to protect a quarterback right now. So that's my opinion. A lot of people are just like, Peyton Manning, Denver's going to be a beast. And I'm like, dude, what did they do to their offensive line? Nothing? Okay. Remember what fucking Tebow had to do last year? Quite a bit to get out of the way. And he's that type of guy. Peyton Manning is a genius at throwing the ball and making good decisions and figuring out the right schemes to do things. But he's not a scrambler. He's not a moving quarterback. So,
yeah,
man, he's got to get hit. He's going to get hit.
I agree.
So then you got, all right. So then you got the Monday night games. I'm going to do these two games, and I want to get it. Quick, random guesses on the divisions, but all right. Monday night, you got Cincinnati at Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Yeah, Cincinnati's another one of those teams that I really don't see that they did anything for themselves. I don't even know what to call for that. Baltimore, I mean, there were very small things off of being a, you know, big AFC team last year. I mean, they a field goal. Yeah, I mean, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So I would easily go with Baltimore. I don't know what else to add to that. But you got San Diego at Oakland. It's the last game of the week. And
Oakland.
Man, we just beat the shit out of San Diego in the last preseason game. And, again, it's preseason, so there's really no, gauge on that.
Well,
Oakland,
I don't
say about them either.
I look at it like this. If the first team is doing what they're supposed to do, then no doubt in my mind that they can beat that team. You know, then they start making the substitutions and all that. Well, hey, if the subs is beating up on their second squad, and the first squad was beating up the first squad, then you know what? Overall, 49ers are better than San Diego. San Diego just not going to have a good season. And the 49ers are not a chump team. In fact, y'all improved this year.
I mean,
this year.
Right. I mean, that game was played with backups. So I can't, like, really, again, I can't, like, fault them and be like, yeah, San Diego's done and we're the best. Like, we, you know, we played our backup quarterback, backup defense, everything. We beat him, like, 35 to something. You know, we definitely banged them up. But, again, I mean, this isn't starting teams, and it's nothing to discredit a team or call myself the champ because we, you know, squashed a team in preseason. That's crazy talk. You know what I mean? But I don't know. It just seemed like they're another one of those teams that, you know, good quarterback, but you know, really hasn't been able to reach his potential. And, like, just they were such a roller coaster team. They were one of those teams 2 years ago that you were like, oh, those are the guys. And then, like, you know, you had, you know, six games in, you were like, I don't know what to call these guys. Some weeks they're the stuff, and then other weeks they're like, I don't, man, that wasn't good at all. You know, they're just a hard team to call, and after a couple of years of that, you definitely can't call them the favorite. So I don't know what to say about them.
Trash can. Put them in the trash.
Yeah. All right, well, all right, let's go divisional real quick. All right, I'm not going to start with the East or the West. NFC South. You got Carolina, Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and Atlanta. Who do you think's winning that division this year?
You said you got the New Orleans Saints, you got the Carolina Panthers,
Tampa Bay Bucs, and the Atlanta Falcons.
I'm gonna go. I want to put it like Falcons, New Orleans.
You're going right down there. Okay.
North Carolina, Tampa Bay.
Okay. Just in case my boy listens, what do you think Tampa Bay's record is going to be at the end of the year? I'm not going to call you on records throughout the rest of this, but what do you think Tampa Bay's record is going to be at the end of the year? Yeah.
16 games, right?
16 games.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'd say they're 7-9 at best.
I was going to say 8-9.
No, that's too many games.
I'll go 8-7.
8-8. I mean, there's 16 games. You got to go 8-8. You got to go 7-9.
I will make them 500 team.
Okay. I hear that. They lost tons of games last year. So I think they were like 3-13 or some shit. So
they could go 500 if they want to be a.
But that'd be an improvement, honestly. And even what I'm saying is an improvement. But yeah, all right. My pick for that division would be, I think Atlanta win the division. I want to go out on a limb and say Carolina will get second, New Orleans will get third, and Tampa Bay will close out. Just saying that Carolina makes some kind of stretch. Yeah, I mean, not really just saying New Orleans is horrible. Like, really going down to the wire, and we're talking, like, by one win or something to actually get second place. And I don't even think that second place will win a wild card at all. I think the other divisions will still take the wild cards. NFC North. You're talking Chicago Bears, Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, and Minnesota Vikings. What do you got?
So we got the Packers, the Vikings, Detroit, and who?
Minnesota. Oh, no, you said Vikings. You're killing me. Because all right, the Bears, the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikings.
Packers. I'm going to go with Lions, Minnesota, and who was the last team?
Chicago?
Oh, well, Chicago, man.
You're really going to go Packers, Lions?
No, I'm going to go because the Lions the Lions did their thing, man.
I hear you, but you put Minnesota before the fucking Bears.
I got to go with the Packers first. I'll go with Chicago. Then I go with the Lions in Minnesota.
Yeah, I would agree with that exact same lineup. I think Green Bay is just, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in football right now. I can't call that guy outside of what else he is. And I'm going to see him week one. I hope Pat gets at him. Now, we ain't calling no bounties. We're just trying to hope him, you know what I mean? Trying to break him up a little bit. Not hurt his career. You got to go with him. And I think Chicago, I'm telling you, I don't think that they've lived up to their recent potential. I think they're really, really going to turn it up this year. So I would definitely say Chicago is number two. And I would say if nobody else in your division takes that wild card, I think Chicago will. You got two wild cards. So I would definitely say that Chicago will take the one wild card. You got Green Bay at the head, followed by Detroit, which might even be fighting for that wild card, you know, come down the stretch. Your division, Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, and the New York Football Giants. I know you know what the division is, but, and, you know.
And then you got one more.
I said Philadelphia, Dallas, Washington, and the Giants. That's four.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, you know, Giants coming in that defending champ, so they better be number one. Because it flips flops. Sometimes it'll be Giants with the I'm gonna go with the Eagles, then Cowboys.
So wait. And, you're doing what now? You're doing
Washington.
All right.
I'm gonna go with Giants. Giants, Eagles. I'm gonna even go with Washington before the Cowboys.
Well, I would hope so. I was surprised that you weren't.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch it before the Cowboys. The Cowboys will be at the bottom of the division again, scum.
And I honestly would agree with that. But when you weren't going with that, I was going to be surprised because I really don't think the Cowboys have anything to beat. I mean, they got more or less the same regiment. I mean, I don't really see that much different that they've done that's going to just make their team better. I mean, one of their best players beat up their mom. Like, I don't – that's not a good thing. You know?
Beat up their mom, that's crazy.
Yeah, you don't do that shit. And then,
you don't beat up your mom, man. The Cowboys got some serious issues.
No, they definitely do. I mean, they have a quarterback, like you said, half their fans hate this guy, let alone, the team or whatever. But, man, you got that to deal with. And then you're going to follow that with, your huge prospect for the future just beat his mom up. And now, this is just turmoil. And it definitely translates on field. They won a preseason game this preseason 3-0.
3-0.
Look at that. And I've seen a couple of Cowboy fans going, yeah, we won. And I went and looked at the score because, I work all day and stuff. And I'm like, I didn't see it yet. And I'm like, 3-0. I'm like, please stop bragging.
Yeah, because that's something that you should not be proud about.
Yeah, your offense put up 3 points.
Can you
stop it. Your only offense kicked. Really?
Your only offense kicked. You can't get a rushing TD or a passing TD.
Yeah, let's just cut it out. I know it's preseason, but come on, man. You're way too happy for 3 points. So, I don't know. I definitely would put them in the basement as well. I would definitely put you guys up top because, the Eli to Cruz connection, and you definitely have some stuff going over there. You got some stuff on defense. You got enough to make the thing done. You got a more of a cohesive unit than the others do. I do think RG3 is going to make a run for things and very well might take that second spot. Like, surprisingly beat out Philadelphia for that second spot because I'm really not sold on Philly. Vic takes too many risks, and he could be out by week four. And it really wouldn't surprise me because he takes too many risks. He's been hurt twice in preseason.
Yeah, because the Giants, he never recovered from that hit that he took from Pierre Paul.
Yeah, dude, if you get hurt twice in preseason and you're only playing a couple series before they pull you out, that's not good. You're playing four quarters in the regular, so let's go. And people don't like you.
Now you got to wear Teflon.
Yeah, you wear all the Teflon you like, man. People put that in the oven all day. So, All right, so that's that. We got that down. My division, the NFC West. You got the San Francisco 49ers, Seattle Seahawks, Arizona Cardinals, and St. Louis Rams. That's the order that I put them in. What do you got?
That's the order I go with.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Rams at the bottom of the list. Seahawks second, 49ers first. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. AFC East. You got New England, Buffalo, Miami, and the New York Jets.
Oh, Jets going to the bottom.
They're going to the bottom. Below Miami and Buffalo?
Miami. Well, I put Jets in front of Miami because they somehow beat them all the time. So it'll go. I put the Bills up second.
Okay. So you got obviously New England at first, and then you got
New England, Buffalo, Jets, Miami.
Okay. What have I got there? I want to kind of agree with you. I mean, New England.
Would you put New England on top, Buffalo? Bills, or would you put the Bills in front of the Pats?
No, you see the thing with the Jets. All right, here's my thing with the Jets. Now, I wouldn't put anybody above the Pats as far as the AFC East goes. I would put the Pats up top, locked in solid. The Jets are a team that every year their gimmick is this: we will make our fans think that we can do it, and then we will break their hearts. So they will put up.
They'll stay at the top until like week 8-9.
Yeah,
they'll drop a division. Buffalo will come up and just win. Miami, no question.
Yeah, the thing is like there's a joke that Artie Lang put out there years ago, and he said, you know. When I was young, I was a Jets fan. And then my father, you know, he was like, you know, you don't want to always be a Jets fan or whatever. He's like, and then I got into women, and he's like, and then I started doing that. He's like, and then I learned women won't always fuck you. But then I got back to being a Jets fan because the Jets will always fuck you. And that was his thing. And I'm telling you, I've seen so many Jets fans that walk around and are like, yeah, this is the year. This is the year. And they look really good. I mean, they've had Curtis Martin. I mean, they've had so many different things that were like, look at you go. Look at you. Wind out of the sails. Gone. Fucking boat engine died. The sail fell in the water. You're in the middle of the ocean. That's a Jets fan.
Oh, yeah. The Jets, number one team in New York. Oh, they got the best backs in New York. Like, I can't tell the Giants owns the Jets. You might as well call that Giants Stadium. It's MetLife Stadium, not Jets or Giants Stadium. It's MetLife. So,
with that MetLife, this my cut on the Giants on that is the Ghetto Life Stadium. So, hating on you or nothing, but obviously, I'm definitely not happy with losing that playoff game, so. It's the Ghetto Life Stadium, as far as I'm concerned.
They got two teams, one stadium.
I know. And they both call themselves a different state than when they're ours. That's so insecure, you know? It's like me walking around being like, yeah, I'm Puerto Rican. You know, don't judge me. Like, oh, why are you saying something you're not? why are you sitting there saying you're from New York and you're not? I mean, you're in Jersey and you won the Super Bowl. Can you not be the Jersey Giants, for Christ's sakes? Or get the fuck out of my state like the Nets, you know?
Yeah, you're the New Jersey Giants. Go back to the New Jersey Giants and just let's say New Jersey Giants.
That's always just burned me, dude. I've never really hated the Giants other than this past year when they beat us. And, you know, and back in the day when, you know, the Lawrence Taylor and Jim Burt hurt Montana and that shit.
Oh, yeah.
Leonard Marshall shit. Yeah, you know I mean? But, like, other than that, I really never held a grudge against the Giants and just had to, like, battle against local fans. So it was never like, I hate the Giants to the core. I hate the Cowboys to the core. I hate the Eagles. But, you know, It's a recent giant semi-hatred. I mean, kind of like a friendly rival, you know what I mean? Because, like, I got a lot of friends that are Giants fans, and I have fun talking shit with them. It's not really just, oh, I can't stand you. But yeah, it's, come on, man. This is Jersey. We have two teams, but we don't have a team. They're New York now. Come on, man. That sucks. I mean, Rhode Island doesn't have a team. If they did have a team, they wouldn't call it the you know, Massachusetts or somewhere else. They'd be like, oh, we have a team. I don't know. I just go on random tangents on this show. It's what I do. Yeah, but I would go with actually New England and then the Jets, because I think the Jets will do enough trickery and wild stuff with the Tebow and Sanchez thing, and I think it'll completely explode by the end of the season, and someone will definitely wind up without a job on the Jets squad, but I think they'll still wind up in the second place and hurt all their fans' feelings, as they always do. AFC North, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. What do you got?
Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati, and Cleveland. I'm gonna go with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Baltimore, Pittsburgh. What was the other team?
Cincinnati, Cleveland.
Not Cleveland. Cincinnati
Bengals.
Oh, Cincinnati Bengals and the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's a tough one, honestly, because I don't really know what to say about either one of them, but I do kind of like the Bengals fans because, you know, Tiger thing, but whatever.
Yeah, Tigers, and then the Browns. I mean, the Browns stepped up last year.
Yeah, no, I mean, they had a lot of, like, oh, look at these guys, they're turning their... Oh, no, they're not. you never know.
Well, I'm going to go Baltimore because I think Baltimore got something to prove this year. And the Steelers,
yeah.
I don't know, they're not the Steelers like they used to be.
Right.
I mean, it ain't about, oh, the steel curtain no more and six championships, fine. Y'all ain't beating nobody.
Roethlisberger's almost done, man. Like, he's a beast to take down, but if you immobilize him like he was banged up, and then when they played us, we hit him once or twice, and his ankle was fucked up. He couldn't move anymore.
Yeah.
Again, that's another one of those Peyton Manning situations. If you're in a situation where, like, your wins came off of being a movable quarterback, and now you can't move, guess what? You're hit, and we hit him up a lot. And that's kind of my thing with Ben. You know, he's a beast, man. He has got to be, in my opinion, the hardest quarterback ever to bring down in the history of football.
Yeah, he's a big man.
You know, Andrew Luck is another one of those guys who may be in his career because he's huge.
Yeah,
I think Andrew Luck's a big fucking boy.
He's a big boy.
But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, if he's able to hold up in the NFL like Big Ben did. But Ben proved himself, and he's one of those guys that, man, he could shrug off a couple hits and then make a smart throw, you know?
Well, I tell you, when Baltimore play the Colts, it ain't going to be no fun game for him.
No?
When Pittsburgh played the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
It ain't going to be no fun game for him. He got a lot of linebackers to duck.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking Ben or Andrew?
I'm talking Andrew.
Andrew's going to get christened this year, definitely. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
The NFL is going to welcome
his
ass.
Oh, yeah, because they're talking about him all big, and he's the quarterback of the century, and he's going to come in and do it and leave off with Peyton left off that. And...
Oh, no. That's why I think no knock on Andrew or nothing like that, but I think RG3 is going to make a bigger impact in his rookie year. I think he'll be rookie of the year.
I really think
he'll be rookie of the year.
Because I think because he went to Washington, then there's going to be options. He's going to be able to run on paths. They're not going to let him stay in the pocket. See, Andrew Luck got to be a pocket passer. They like pocket passers, the Colts. They never had a quarterback that had that had scrambling ability.
Right.
Not even a second screen.
That's the same thing. I don't think Indianapolis is set up for Luck, and I don't think Denver's set up for Peyton. So it's going to take a couple years to adjust. Peyton only got a couple years. So Andrew Luck, I think he'll adjust. I think he'll be fine. I think he'll be a definitely staple in the NFL as long as he stays healthy. But it's going to be a little bit of a, you know, a go for that. That's all.
And then Luck, his dad played for the Saints, no?
Huh?
His dad played for the New Orleans Saints, no?
Who, Luck?
Yeah.
Did he? I don't know. I don't know history like that. Possibly.
I thought it was either the Giants or the 49ers. I mean, the Saints. I got to get you back on that one. But I believe his father played for the Saints or either the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, I know nothing about that. But, I mean, you could be completely right because I don't know fucking thing about it. But, all right. I mean, no. I mean, so that's what we got there. So then we got we just did Houston and them, or no, no. Houston, Jacksonville. We just did the Pittsburgh joint. Yeah.
We just did Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Houston, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and Indianapolis. Speaking of Andrew Luck.
Well, damn. You know, I'm going to go with, see, we got Tennessee, we got the Colts. We got the Jaguars. And who else?
Tennessee.
We got Tennessee, Jags, Colts, and who?
Texans.
Oh, the Texans. Well, I'm going to go with Texans at the top. I'm going to go with Indiana at the bottom. I mean, I'm going to go with Indiana second. Then I go with the Jags. And I go with Tennessee last.
All right, well, here's my thing. If you get Jones-Drew back in there, I'll put Jacksonville second.
Yeah.
If you get him back in there happy
and
fighting, I will put them second in the division, definitely.
I agree.
But if this is like a turmoil that goes, I'd say like 4 to 5 weeks, I think that will burn the bridge with them being second in the division. And I think you definitely got to go with, you know, that upstarting, you know, Indianapolis type thing. But again, I mean, you're going a long stretch from what Indianapolis was last year to put them second in the division. So I don't know. Like, I got to go, like, on the limb and say Jacksonville's still going to take second. I got that weird feeling. Like, Indianapolis has a lot of building to do, and Andrew Luck is a monster. But rookie year,
I don't think they'd go 500.
Yeah, I mean, if they do, great. But and that's a huge improvement from what they did last year. Same thing I said about the Bucks. If they go 500, you know how much you have improved? Can we just call it that? You know what I mean? I mean, I mean, that's just my thing there. And, I guess we'll just go with that. Because I'll go with the Houston, Jacksonville, Indy, Tennessee.
Houston, Jacksonville, and Tennessee, yes.
Yeah. Then you got the last division, AFC West. You got the San Diego Chargers, that we just beat the shit out of. The Denver Broncos with the Peyton Manning. The Oakland Raiders and the Kansas City Chiefs. What do you got?
You got the Chiefs, you got the Chargers, you got the Denver Broncos.
And the Raiders.
You got the Raiders. Raiders going, I'm going to put Raiders at the bottom. This is a nasty division. You don't know who could be at the top.
No, I don't know who could be at the bottom either because, I mean, between Oakland,
like,
Kansas City, and San Diego, like, who do you call? I mean, I don't know.
Yes, Kansas, KC did their thing. I put them at the top. I put them before the Chargers. I go with the Chargers.
So you're going KC? You're going
Denver. KC, Denver, Chargers, and Oakland.
All right. See, the thing is here's what I think is going to happen.
I can go Chargers, Denver.
Wow.
KC, and Oakland.
Wow. I mean, that's unbelievable, man. I think Denver will do enough to make the playoffs and be a first-round jobber and just get the shit knocked out of them in the first round. That's if Peyton stays around long enough, because I really think that division is weak.
I think that division is really, really weak. I agree with you. You know what? I'll put Denver first. I'll put Denver, yeah. KC, Chargers, and Oakland.
Yeah, I don't know how to call the most of the rest of that division, but I think Denver will do enough, and the Denver fans and the Denver lovers will get behind them and be like, see, Peyton, see what I mean? See what I mean? And then a team like Houston or Baltimore or New England is going to beat the shit out of them in the playoffs. And I think that's it. You know, go home. Good night. Yeah, or even like a wild card team, which we'll get to right now. Okay. Your wild card teams on the AFC side.
No. So,
me, you have Denver, Houston, Pittsburgh, and New England winning. No, Baltimore winning the division on the AFC side. So now, who is your two wild cards outside of that? Because we've obviously agreed on the division winner.
Denver get a wild card.
Well, no, you said Denver's winning the fucking division.
Oh, you are the wild. Who's the wild card? Who's the wild card teams?
Well, your second choice. I mean, the winners of the division are, according to us, obviously, Denver,
Houston,
Baltimore, and New England. I'll give you my wild card picks. I'd say Pittsburgh, and I'd say, oh, that's so hard, man, because I don't know if the Jets are going to make some kind of crazy push to get in and be beat in the first round, and they'll be those, because again, the Jets are those guys that'll get there for their fans and then disappoint the shit out of them. So it could be the Jets, or it could be, you know, the upstart Indianapolis Colts. It could be it could be Jacksonville if Jacksonville shows up with, you know, Jones-Drew and puts some wins in it. You know what? I think that's going to come around. So I'm going to go with Jacksonville and Pittsburgh as the wild cards for the AFC. What do you think? Because, I mean, there's those teams. You know, in the East, we're talking contender-wise. I mean, you put some guys down bottom. You got to think New England, the Jets, around the top. You got to think Pittsburgh, Baltimore, around the top. Houston, Jacksonville, Indianapolis, around the top. You got to think Denver, Kansas City, San Diego, as far as what you said, around the top. So, I mean, what's the two teams that are going to make it in out of everybody that didn't win the division?
KC.
KC wins a wild card? Okay.
KC surprised me last year. They surprised me last year. So
I mean, all right.
I'll go with
Miami. Miami, wow. Pittsburgh don't make it. Nobody else makes it into Miami, and Kansas City make it. That are brave picks, my man. And, if those get through, by all means, that's fantastic stuff. Real, NFC-wise now, you got your Giants winning, and I got your Giants winning the East. I got Green Bay, you got Green Bay. Went in the north. I got Who do I got? I think I got Atlanta winning the South. I think you had Atlanta winning the South too, right?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah. And San Francisco winning the West. Now, the remainder of that, who do you call as the wild cards?
I'm gonna give it to the Eagles. Give it to the Eagles. And out of your division.
My division, my ass. Ain't nothing come out of my division to be wild card, but go ahead.
Oh, well, yeah. Atlanta, right? Atlanta, and it was...
Yeah, you picked Atlanta to win the division.
Now, who was in the division?
Carolina, Tampa Bay, and New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go with New Orleans.
Okay. New Orleans and the Eagles?
Huh?
New Orleans and the Eagles, you said?
I said New Orleans and the Eagles.
Wow. All right. I mean, they're not bad picks. I would go with Chicago.
That's close.
I have a bad feeling about that division. There's a chance that Green Bay wins that division and Chicago and Detroit take the wild card. Out of four teams in that division end up getting in the playoffs. I mean, that's just my outside pick. And again, it could be like a New Orleans because, again, Drew Brees is, I would say, the second best quarterback in football. I go with Aaron Rodgers and I go with Drew Brees without hesitating.
Thank you.
I mean, there's really nothing else to say. I mean, I don't like New Orleans, obviously, with them trying to kill my people. But in the same token, Drew Brees is a fucking – he's a phenom. I mean, these two guys, if they do not get hurt, they're first ballot Hall of Famers, period. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, and it's crazy because we picked Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers. Oh, it hurts my balls. But, you know – this is what happens. This is football. Joe Montana was not even a first round pick. So what can you do? Luck of the draw. And it's not even the draw because you wind up picking somebody and they show up.
Tom Brady was the third straight quarterback at Michigan.
Yeah, Michael Jordan was on a first round pick. But we're not being the basketball because I don't want to hear your shit.
You know this.
I don't know. Another week, another time. Shit, man. I think we got all our picks down. Now who's your pick winning the Super Bowl this year? Who's your Super Bowl pick this year? This team versus this team.
Well, you know, if Giants...
Yeah, I got to be biased, and you're probably going to do the same because you're ignorant like me. So go ahead.
Yeah,
the Giants versus who?
You know, the Giants, we own
the Giants versus who?
Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. Well, actually, what's really going to happen...
You know, because the Giants can't play the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
I know that. That's why we're going to beat you earlier.
Hey, man.
Yeah, and now I would...
Hopefully, we won't have to play each other.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you don't make the fucking playoffs. Because of lack of wide receivers, because we got Mario Manningham. And, you know, he called the biggest play of the Super Bowl.
It can happen, because you know what? He's selfish for that.
Super Bowl was gauged on a one-play performance...
Yeah,
who would have been the MVP of that Super Bowl?
Yeah, Mario Manningham.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, because that's my guy.
That's
what I mean. Hey, your guy threw the fucking ball all fucking game, and he did his goddamn thing. And actually pulled out, as even though he looks like the retarded Manning, he seems to be the better Manning right now. Come on, man. Look at the two of them face. Just look at their face. Come on. Hey, you played around in the mall and pretended like you're retarded and it's hilarious. And you know what I mean? Like, you remember those days. But listen, if you looked at the two Mannings And then you look at Eli. He looks like he's lost.
Yeah,
he looks like he don't even know where the fuck he's at. He's talented. He's super talented. Huh?
I get pissed off when you make the stupid Eli face.
But, yeah, come on. I don't make the Eli face. You was making the Eli face back in the day. Like, this is my friend. Don't leave me in the mall. you don't fucking forget that shit. Anyway, this fucking guy, man, you look at the two fucking Mannings, and Eli just looks like he's lost in the lights and shit, and Peyton just looks like, I don't know, neither, but in the same token, he looks a little smarter, and Peyton was always revered as the better quarterback, because again, he was that on-field general, he was the guy that were like, who needs a coach when you have Peyton, and all that shit. Well, one guy has won two Super Bowls, and one guy has won one Super Bowl. So, now your guy is kind of looking a little fucking... Looking a little good on his end, right?
And MVP.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, regardless of what I see on the surface and what everybody sees on the surface and his looks and that, he's proved himself. He's definitely fucking busted his ass. He's done his thing. He's now won two Super Bowls. That's a pretty good resume. And what can I say, man? You know?
Yeah.
But, hey, man, these picks have been fucking phenomenal. I'm fucking so glad to have you tonight. This is unbelievable. This is like the last thing I would have thought that my dude Ali would have fucking called up and fucking me tonight. This is phenomenal stuff, man. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Oh man, did I? That's amazing. You got the talk show. I'm always calling, man.
Good, man. Good. Next Wednesday, I'm doing the picks with the points. And if you want to call in, it's 9 o'clock, buddy. And we're going live Wednesday, 9 o'clock. And I'm going on, man. The football game is going to be going on too. So you're going to be all torn. And you're going to be like, nah, my Giants is on. But yeah, I got to beat them fucking Cowboys up. So either way.
Hey, man. Hey, I'll call and have time and talk a little crap.
Well, absolutely, dude.
Any Cowboys fans want to get on the horn and start talking, let them get
There's
on.
There's no Cowboys fans.
I'll talk right to them. Hey, come on, scum. Cowgirls.
There. So listen, homie. I'm going to move on. This has been a great segment. You've made my football segment so much longer than it was going to be. I almost went 2 hours on football. That's fantastic. Now, I'm up and I'm fucking wired and I'm hyped and I'm going to do some wrestling talk. I'm going to throw a red man track before I do that. You know what I mean? And that whole thing. So, I mean, if you would like, continue to listen in, dude. But, yeah, I'm going to hang up and all that. Thanks for calling in, homie.
You already know, homie.
You have a good night, yo. Check the Red Man track out. You know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Brick City!
BCC, baby.
Bro got the Buddha. I need to put it in. Put it in the blood. Put it in the blood.
Yeah.
Put it in the blood.
When I'm smoking the slip, because I be that type of nigga that be fucking your bitch. I spit back to back on Will, still like Ron G. While the bomb D got me and keep on John B. Now who's next to test that folks? Dr. Joe Pest. Make shots ring out your vest and your whole dress. I smash the butt of his MC. Fuck who is mothering. You're guzzling the aqua boogie till you're bubbling. You're drowning my folks. I aqua duck. If it's more rocks to crush, then it's more cops to bust. That's the hood rule. If it's understood, cool. Whichever him or her choose to see, I'll remove. I showed the fuck off with my cup run up over. Wish I died, I rhyme to blow your exposure. Hit ya with a shit Kodak couldn't picture. Flip our verse, make crews disperse real quicker. Now who's the nicest of the mic, baby? Paul Snip, I'm that crazy raw that you've been begging for. High hole, steel by nails, I kills, I drills out. You can feel the real, my skills are pills out. Nigga, I
get swifter when I swigger. OE, my style's tight like rims on bigger. It's the funk doctor spot and I'm breaking. Buy a new car and watch the Jersey niggas take them.
How you get down?
I get down like that. That bomb ass motherfucker, that sport Timberline. The blacker the berry, sweeter the juice, yeah, true. But when I'm through, they be like,
you in there, boo.
I'll never rock the cradle, I'm about getting paper. I rape you for your style, make my connect fatal. Straight blows after blows, I'm constant with bomb shit. Make them nonsense MCs wonder who my mom's is. The funk doctor spot, better known as Reggie Noble. You wanna heat shit up, but nigga, I'm already smoking. I split the back of MCs like Philly. And empty out the crap to make them go multi-million. Total concentrations on the mic and the money. I'm the type to get blooded and roll dice on a Sunday. Why don't you stick out your tongue and say, ah? And you be happy you're going down like James Lodge. I take toast off the Baba D smoke. Get your nose broke if you're slipping like the Pocono slope. I rang out shots from my mouth a lot like a thousand glocks. Pop a thousand watts on your house a block. I got the weed by the stack.
The new kid on the scene, flow catching more vibes than BLS in the magazine. I got it locked with each release drop. I be milked like Parmalat for the 9-5 shot. Straight from Jersey, Newark, I represent to the fullest extent. I get bent in basement and run shit. Baby sit, shoot to get tough and chalk and skunk mix. Wildin' out on it. Ain't nothing you could do when I scream on you. We run through crews like dress rehearsals. We represent peace and niggas on French Street. And the niggas and the bitches that flip cheese.
The fat of the beast, the fat of the freak. I have to keep the weed and rat to tie the in the Jeep. And I smoked a lot. Whoever went to die because I never seen a man hot till he hit red light. Plus, my bag of vocal dust, but all you fake MCs want to be down with us. I'm leaving no witness to this physical fitness. This is for the real niggas and bitches. Hot as well as three, made a piss stop at your Penelope. Now I'm locked down for J.O. felony. We knock fools off mad.
How you get down?
I get down like that. That he shook me. Suck my dick one time. Suck my dick,
suck
one,
my
time.
Dick one time.
Yes, squad is in the house.
All right. Well, listen, Lee, you're still on the line. I didn't have the heart to cut you off or nothing like that. So you're willing to, you know, listen in here. You can keep doing it. I'm going to do my thing, and you just chill out, listen. You know, you got
yeah,
something
you got
to say?
Hot,
fucking,
you got a hot
huh?
radio station. You got a hot radio station, man. And how you did that, how to turn off the football, and then play the Red Man, came back on the segment talking about wrestling. That's all that right there, bro.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I go off the fucking chain. But like I said, man, I'm going to talk about a bunch of shit you don't really know about, but in the same token, if you want to chime in, whatever the fuck, you're willing to do so. If you need to bounce, you go ahead and do
yeah.
that. But, yeah, I mean.
I'm going to charge my phone up, and I'm going to call back in.
All right, then do that, man. No problem.
What time you go off the air?
I don't know. I have no idea, man. I stop talking when I'm done talking.
All right, I'm gonna go take a shower, charge my phone, and come back on the air. I'm gonna be blunt.
All right, good stuff, man.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
Yeah. So that's my Dooley, man. That's my cuzzo. Yeah, I mean, never ever expected my Dooley to call in tonight. That was such a, man, what a breath of fresh air. That was fantastic because, again, I was tired going into the show. I told people, yay, man, here's the number, call in and stuff. I get the number, and I don't know nobody's number. I barely know my own number. Yeah, I mean, so when I see number, yeah, just like, who's this? Yeah, as soon as I hear the voice, I'm like, oh, shit, that's my motherfucker right there. Oh, that's my dude. And that's awesome. That's awesome stuff. So Ali hopefully will be, and he still didn't hang up, so fuck you, motherfucker. He's still listening. Yeah, I mean, so hopefully Ali will keep coming on a regular basis because I love that motherfucker's voice in my ear more than fucking anybody. That's my dude right there. So go take your motherfucking shower, call back or some shit.
All right, I'm going to hit you.
Damn right. I'm watching the switchboard. You didn't drop off yet, bitch.
I'm about to drop now, cuz.
Yeah, all right.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I'm about to go do that.
It's like you saying goodbye like a girlfriend or some shit. You hang up the phone. Now you hang up.
You hang up.
No, you hang up. I ain't hanging up. You hang up. No, on the count of three, we'll both hang up. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, wrestling.
Yeah.
We take about five times. Get the fuck out of here. Go take a shower.
All right,
so, yeah. So CZW and shit. All right, yo. I commented on this shit beforehand, and I had this feeling I was right, and I was fucking damn right. Because when it came to fucking CZW, man, I seen their little Wired episode where they had the Joker versus Masada joint, and the fucking dude, they did that thing where Joker snapped off and he started throwing people around. The fans popped like a... First off, Joker's back has gotten like two times bigger, and I've only been away from shows for like 2-3 months. Holy shit, he's getting huge. Joker's getting huge. He started throwing motherfuckers around. He pulled the fucking guardrail back to fucking, like, want to fight fans. And the fans are chanting Joker at him. CZW is the worst fucking ever at executing angles. When someone's supposed to be a face, make them a fucking face. CZW, the faces have always been dominant, beastly, don't give a fuck about rules type guys. So when Joker pulls back the fucking guardrail to fight the fans and they're like, yeah, motherfucker Joker, he surely can't make himself a heel. He's over like a motherfucker. So when Maven's like, oh, I'm suspending you because you hit me. Masada also threw a ref into a guardrail. But, no, that's not heelish, I guess, just because dude hit you. That's heelish. Oh, all right. I mean, if that's... Oh, doesn't make any fucking sense. Straight up doesn't make any fucking sense. Mister... You don't know about a business until you've worked in the business. Not to be disrespectful, but I went to college for running a business. Do you not understand when people are screaming fucking Joker at the guy who you're trying to make a heel? You're fucking failing. See, here's the thing about it, and I'm going to go into another topic in a minute that will also put another guy on blast that I feel like I know a little bit more about wrestling than Maven. Oh, you've been, and I'm sorry, I really, really apologize if I'm pinning this on you, but, like, some of the statements amongst, like, what you put out towards me made me kind of focus on you, because I focus on DJ for the book overall, but now that I know that, like, and I knew that you were a part of it, but, like, you're really taking more of, like, a, yeah, this is what I do, like, oh, okay, that's great. So listen, Maven. You've gone to college for that, and I'm sure you have a better shoot job than CZW, because if you don't, then you're fucking retarded, and your college means dick to me, who hasn't graduated high school. But I know a shitload about wrestling, and I know what makes sense, and I know what doesn't make sense. And I could point out to you the best feuds that have happened in CZW. I could point out the best angles. I could point out the best worked segments, interviews, all of that. Even the shit that you just did with fucking Nation of Intoxication. Those fucking guys. That was retarded. That was completely retarded. The second half of that made sense. The first half where they're like, hey, Maven, this fucking bullshit, we lost our titles, we want another fucking shot, and this and that, and then halfway through, they're like, all right, fuck Maven, and they turn towards the camera, and they start cutting, CZW, I want another shot. Like, wait a minute, you're just cutting a promo at the guy who supposedly had the power in the company, and then at some point decided this is a wasted effort and turned towards the camera and said, fucking, we want our shot. If you're listening, like, but you were just talking to him like the guy who was the one. And now you're talking to the, wow, I'm confused and everybody's confused and nobody gives a shit and fantastic. So, but beyond that, you're not a face, Maven. Like, you've never had a fucking, like, a role where people, like, actually embraced you as a fucking face. Like, you now, you suspended Joker, who was a very aggressive dude that they were chanting his fucking name. So now he's suspended, which I would hope that's just he has another booking. And this is your way of masking it. But it's not a good way of masking it. Either you're going to be another heel on fucking camera authority figure like DJ is, which is a horrible fucking idea. You know, I had suggested fucking probably a year ago, stop with the fucking heel authority figure that's also a wrestler. Now, a heel authority figure that's also a wrestler and a heel authority figure that's not a wrestler. Oh, no, it doesn't make it better. That doesn't make it fucking better. And if you think you're a face by going, hey, the fans love him for being aggressive, well, you're being suspended because you hit me. No one values you. No one values you. You're not the top face in the company. You know what I mean? Do you remember, like, when they had you, like, cleaning toilets and that dumb shit, and no one cared about that neither? No one was like, that's bullshit. Maven has to clean a toilet. Like, you were like the dickbag that had to clean fucking toilets. Like, I'm just talking storyline. Dude, you could do the fucking world for the company backstage. You can have everything to do with the best thing that's happened in this company. And I understand, and I give you credit for it. I don't know who's responsible for what. I'm just judging on the on-screen fucking shit. And when somebody fucking goes out there as an aggressive fucking dude, again, the biggest face in the company ever was Nick Gage. He wasn't suspended every time he wilded out. If he was, it wouldn't have been CCW. He wouldn't have been Nick Gage. But now a heel fucking freaks out and throws refs around. You're suspended. Oh, this fucking tag team was a little fucking brutal. You're suspended. Oh, wait. So the faces are who? Nah, dude, you don't get it. You don't get it. And you can have all the fucking business majors across the fucking board, but when it comes down to it, you don't understand. If you did, you'd have more fans. Maybe I'd still be attending. And the same token, dude, you have a fucking ref that starts personal fucking drama with fans like me. And as far as personal goes, if it came down to me and him, it would not be a good fucking day. For either of us. Because my life would change off of court dates, and his shit wouldn't be able to work no more. He wouldn't be able to fucking walk the same, but you continue to employ him. And the fact is yeah, he might know something on somebody and blah, 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 blah. I've heard nothing about, oh, he's a politician. He does everything he can. I know he's a politician because he's never said shit wrong to my face because I take his face off. You know, there's three or four people who's punched this fucking guy in the face that have been in the business. What the fuck continues to make this guy work there? When I got into an altercation with somebody within, you know, close range of myself. And this motherfucker was trying to film shit on the cut and then turn around and make this shit into a fucking rumor that I was beating my girl up and telling a bunch of other people that ended up spitting it back at me. People that weren't even there came back at me that I was beating the fuck out of my girl that I've been with for 13 years. Dude, you got a target on your head. And that's the reason why I won't show up to CZW shows. But you guys think that's a good fucking idea to fucking keep him refereeing your fucking shows. Because why? I don't know. I don't know. Something about it. It's something about it. Like, he's one of those politicians and he's got your heart off of something else he knows. Send his motherfucking ass up the road because you're losing fucking fans and that's bottom fucking line. And that's my statement on that. I ain't mentioned no names. I ain't mentioned nothing specific other than the roundabout thing I just mentioned. But that little dude, I'm telling you, I hurt him fucking bad, and that's the reason why I won't show up to your shit ever fucking again. I'll buy your pay-per-views if DJ ain't on the fucking main event. Other than that, whatever, man. It's whatever. Yeah, it's fuck it. I'll mention the dude. Brett Lauderdale. Brett Lauderdale's a little faggot. Fuck that dude. Anyway, what else? PWG is running a show this weekend. They're on fucking fire. And what they got going on this weekend is the Battle of Los Angeles, a 2-day tournament to crown the Battle of Los Angeles. We got starting off on Saturday, stage one. You got Adam Cole. This is the first round. I mean, tell me this isn't a fucking super card. Tell me this fucking shit is not a super card. What about this is not phenomenal? Adam Cole versus El Generico. Michael Elgin versus Davey Richards. Ricochet versus Kevin Chazbono Steen. Eddie Edwards versus Kyle O'Reilly. Sammy Callahan versus Willie Mack. TJ Perkins against Joey Ryan. B-Boy versus Brian Cage and Roderick Strong versus Drake Younger. And then you got round two and non-tournament matches all over the place on night two. This shit needs to be an iPay-per-view. It's fucking unbelievable. And I'm telling you, like, this is the primary fucking federation. This is the best indie federation in the fucking country. And I'm not saying this because I'm disgruntled with CZW. I'm still a severe CZW fan. Huge CZW fan. It's only personal shit that's actually keeping me from attending. But as soon as anything comes across that I like to purchase, I'm iPay-per-viewed up. I'm chilling in front of my joint. No problem. It's just certain personal things that it just keeps me from doing that. But, and actually saves me a shitload of money because I have personal issues. So, like, that dude is actually saving me money and minus a lawsuit. So, it's awesome. It's actually pretty beneficial to my life. And then I get to do other shit instead. You know what I mean? So, it's whatever. You know what I mean? $15 instead of, like, 2 first-row tickets, gas money, leaving work early, babysitters, the whole shit. Yeah, I'm just going to chill out here and fucking, yeah, not getting, it's all good. You know, I have a gauge on exactly what needs to happen and what doesn't need to happen. And, you know, this is one of those things that just doesn't need to fucking happen. So I'm just, you know, anyway, Battle of Los Angeles, great stuff. Definitely check that shit out. And, it's 11:13 already. So I'm actually going to take another break because I expected to take more breaks than that. I did almost 2 hours on football, which is fantastic. I hope my homeboy, Nick Russell listens to this shit. I really do. I'm going to definitely recommend it to him. And starting at this show, I was worried about being so sleepy and stuff like that. And I actually loaded this song up because I was feeling like that. So guess what? I'm going to play this for you. And it was originally for myself, but I'm going to play this for you because it's a classic joint anyway. Killer Army. Cue the bass.
rock star of the planet. I kill killing orders like lieutenant. Hit the planet Earth to explode like a human cannon. The universe washed up, born to kill saga. Giving niggas head trauma. Bulletproof shield is made of gold armor. Brain surgeon is erosion to my Persian mind urban. Scientists found children wrapped up in curtains. Casualties, flashbacks, now send me back. I attack like a rat, serious as a heart attack. Professional assassinator, professor. Assassinate your mind, state and broken metal plate. Lyrical Nostradamus, psychotic mind of Saddam. Ex-con, attack the Pentagon with unorthodox firearm from Vietnam. I crucify them like Muslims, murdering Jews from Jerusalem. Now who's the supreme lyricist? You can't seize this. When I die, my name will be worshipped like Jesus. War visual, individual, incriminate the criminal. My coach and nickel put holes in your face like dimples.
Yeah.
Break the fuck up or get broke the fuck up. The wisdom we apply, son, soak this shit up. If it was best, son, niggas would smoke this shit up. So wake the fuck up or get broke the fuck up.
Brains get erosion when they oppose. As we unfold, future is disclosed. I was prophesied scriptures, hitting an untold. I roll with my skull and bones, made of solid gold. Skin is closing up, poach your home. With a war, Armageddon in my home. Mr. Mind Ruler, mental intruder from the tribe of Judah. Devils disappear like they be Buddha. Bermuda, triangle, erupting orbits, direct the tracks like volcanoes. So that's where to me, I appear to years here for revolution and the burning constitution. Learn from us, can more of us return? Observe the facts, deliver by blacks. Soon as we united, the sky cracked. A group of UFOs formed the seven in the heavens. God celebrated devil's death day. Signal, jail, let loose the criminals. Bystanders die, waiting for miracles we giving you.
Wake the fuck up,
yeah. I make it hopped up like cheese stuff. Be cracking concrete chunks, release once the earth shifts. Focal points clip, zero to miss. Killer vocalist, lotus fist blessed with loaded fifths. Golden clips, society slip like psychotic hicks. And souls of flicks, who wrote this shit? Superior minds combine to blow this click. Enterprise like German spies. Keep my eyes on Soviets, they rush in my direction. I'm wetting like a leak bone. Freak bones, deep bones to call home with freaks bone. To each his own, chrome zones, reclone like chromosomes. Holding chrome, the golden tone champ for rolling bones. Fire zone. Blazing hot trails tonight, barren fields, Saudi still collaborating on track with Bobby Steele, generate a mill, killer be law, killer be kill, know the lads, finally our justice has prevailed.
Wake the fuck up, or get woke the fuck up, the wisdom we have lives, son, soak this shit up, if it was said, shy niggas will smoke this shit up, so wake the fuck up, or get woke the fuck up.
A 43rd conviction, incarcerated in hell for eternity, but my mentality and chemistry made me celestial through the galaxy. Sparks friction, generating free vibration. Slave for meditation, your body is now liquidation. Even your hemoglobin swollen with corrosion. Amputated, invaded, physical zone disintegrated. That's when niggas face the fucking with the sons of men. Thrown in the dungeon, I delete 100 men with a golden pen. Forced to intercept with the click from Shaolin. Killing devils, scattering ashes over the sea of the Mediterranean. That's my trademark, P.S. burnt in my victim's heart. I be that star from afar, illuminating through the dark. Another burning phase of death, the initiation of the mason. 186 Fridays left in the book of Revelation. Reminiscing about the days, place in hell, the divinity of my mind. It will meet the city with technicality of mankind. Let's take a journey behind the closed doors of reality. Hold your eyes to the revolution, your mouth escape the blind state of confusion. Trials and tribulations of the original nation. These are headaches, the only chance of elevation. Unite with the black coalition. Son of man, population click, who they clan. Birth to kill the army, leaving your skeletons buried in the promised land.
Yeah.
Regular fucking basis.
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
Do you take loads to the face and everywhere else?
Oh, Robin, that's inappropriate. Mustulate you. Baba Booey.
A-19. Reggie
is cockstruck.
I want it right now.
I ate my brother.
Yeah! Stern Nation.
Stern Nation. Check them out on Podomatic, iTunes, or Stitcher.
Any girls ever had two penises in their ass?
I have, twice.
You should have mentioned that. I mean, that might have put you over the top.
Get me? My dude Andrew Carluck be slamming, and Steph over there, you goddamn right. Check them out. They do a phenomenal show. You want to wrap up, you want to talk about the Howard Stern Show, which is obviously the best radio show that's ever existed. Clear example of inspiration for me and anybody else who does radio that's off the cuff, that actually does something that's just honest talk, that's just real talk. You've honestly, obviously, I meant obviously, obviously listened to the Howard Stern Show before, because that is the first show that it was actually coming with real talk without worrying about censures and all that. And I think, you know, the podcast and all that was kind of a stem off of what he did to begin with. So, you know, obviously. Man, I'm trying to filter this out, because, man, I'm already 11:20. I only expected to do 2 hours. So, I have a lot to say about Frank Goodman, and I think I'm going to hold that for next week, and I'm going to try to get some people on that have heard this shit as well, and then talk about Frank Goodman with them. Because I got a lot to say about that fucking dude. That fucking dude is something else. WWE. All right. They did the whole CM Punk versus Jerry Lawler thing. They started out with him shooting on Jerry Lawler, dropping, I guess, the pipe bombs, whatever, on Jerry Lawler, and really telling him, like, yo, dude. And honestly, like, I agree with fucking everything Punk said. Like, you could be playing a heel, you could be playing whatever. I think Jerry Lawler is severely overrated in his career. I don't think his wrestling was ever that good. I think especially his shit now. And obviously, you know, back in the day, I mean, it was what it was. And, you know, not the majority of people's wrestling weren't that good. And it was very simplistic wrestling. It was very, you know, a fist drop, and it was like a huge finish and like that type of thing. But there's no place for that right now, but I'll get to that in a minute. But, yeah, the Andy Kaufman thing, like, that was kind of like a completely, I kind of want to go out like it was just unprofessional, really. I mean, really unprofessional. I mean, he shooted on a dude who was cutting on wrestling like he was going to stand up for wrestling. Now, I mean, on the surface, I would go, all right, yeah, I get that. And then I would go, all right, well, what do you got? And then when you put that guy's fucking career on a fucking pedestal, and then you go across the years and he's wrestling CM Punk, the world champion, the biggest fucking dude in the fuck. I mean, like, that's that type of thing where, like, I don't think Kaufman did worse for wrestling than you did. I think you're doing worse right now. Like, someone needs to pile drive you on your head, like, right now. So, you know, he did the whole thing with him, and I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to go through the whole fucking Raw card and fucking, because it's horrible. But the whole fucking CM Punk segment, all right, yeah, he cut on him and a snap, and fucking Jerry Lawler looking like a little withered fucking pedophile that he does. He just stood there, it's going to be what it's going to be. So, he's doing what he's doing, and then it winds up a cage match. Really? All right, first off, you got fucking CM Punk battling out with John Cena. You got CM Punk battling out with Triple H. You got CM Punk battling out with all sorts of motherfuckers, and he's coming out on top. Oh, he's going to get busted open, which was a clear blade job. Please don't anybody put that out there as anything but a blade job. There was no accident. There was no stiff. It was a fucking blade job. Why against Jerry Lawler? Really? You go down in wars against fucking people, we're not allowed to fucking bleed, and now all of a sudden Jerry Lawler needs to bring the blood out of people. Are you fucking kidding me? This is fucking stupid. It's ridiculous. Why is Jerry Lawler in the main event of anything? Anything. He's a horrible wrestler. He was a horrible wrestler when he was younger. And now he's older. And now we're supposed to lay credence to him. This is like DJ Hyde. Fucking, and his fucking company. Oh, fucking, Maven gets hit in the face, but he's a face. Even though the fucking guy who hit him in the face has his name chanted at volumes that are way beyond fucking ignorance. And come through really heavily on the DVD and iPay-per-view stream. And even your Wired stream. It's not like you mute the background or anything like that because you're trying to make him a heel. No, they're marking out for the guy who you're trying to make a heel. Yeah, okay, yeah. They're marking out for CM Punk, and you're fucking nobody as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the crowd is concerned. And, yeah, well, you know, oh, bad guy, CM Punk is going to town on him. They're like, yeah, fucking kill him. What? Dude, stop it. Stop with the old school fucking reminiscing shit. No one cares. No one fucking cares. You're killing the old school more than you're helping it. People will reflect on the old school if you didn't force it down their throats at 50-something years old. If you didn't wheel these fucking guys out to the ring and be like, hey, remember that guy? They would remember that guy. They would look at this. They would start enjoying wrestling because the Daniel Bryans, the CM Punk, the Evan Bournes, you know, there's so many of the new school of wrestling around, and they will start loving it. And when people start loving things, they start looking more into it, and that's when they see the background, and that's when they see the, and of course, yeah, for those guys, it's a payday. So as long as you fucking guys sign them up, they're all in. They're all fucking in. Why would they not be? Oh yeah, 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 sign me up. I'm ready. Yeah, why not? I'm all down. Oh, Jerry Lawler? Yeah, yeah, sign me up. Cage match? Oh, yeah, next month, yeah. I can't even imagine what they paid that motherfucker for that shit. Fucking garbage. And I actually have friends that just said, oh, no, it was actually a good match. Bullshit! That match was shit. That match was CM Punk dominating. He could have done that shit against a broomstick or a fucking any fucking thing. The fuck out of here with this Jerry Lawler bullshitting and pulling his fucking old titties out when he fucking drops the one fucking bra strap. The fuck out of here. Who the fuck wants to see that? Anybody, is anybody really looking at that and be like, oh, I was so missing Jerry Lawler in the ring. Oh, I'm so glad he's back. I hate that CM Punk guy. I mean, he's gonna set him straight. What the fuck is going on here? This is, I think I'm probably towards the end of what I got to say. Well, what else do I got? I want to say, Ryback Swagger. Yeah, Swagger's about done. He's about done. They're about to release his ass. There's no way he's not. And it's funny because, like, I've seen a bunch of people like, oh, Ryback was sloppy in that match. Yo, Swagger took a back body drop and just decided not to flip at all. I don't know whose fault that is. I can't imagine that Ryback didn't put enough strength up to put him high enough to flip. Like, he took a while to even start trying to flip. He looked defeated. And honestly, like, getting squashed to Ryback after you've been a world champion and all that shit and you were pushed and you're in a fucking tag team with another guy who's the future, I would kind of feel like, yeah, you're probably upset. And you're probably fucking depressed, and this is probably not working out for you. Like, dude, I ain't hating on you being mad, but in the same token, I sure shit ain't gonna blame your opponent who's getting pushed and be like, oh, well, that fucking guy's sloppy. Really? I mean, the guy taking the bump didn't make any moves to try to take the correct bump. Like, I'm kind of blaming Swagger right now because he took far better shit when he was in the fucking world champion spot and people were putting him over. And all of a sudden he's like, yeah, you're just going to get fucking killed by this guy. And he's like, ugh. And he just came out there just really not trying to protect himself, really not trying to do anything. And maybe I'm wrong because, again, I'm not a wrestler, but I don't credit Ryback with some unprofessionalism that he fucking dropped him on his head. He wasn't holding him at all. Like, it was like, you know, lift on the shoulder and then do what you're going to do. So, really? Oh, he hurt him? Oh, okay. Fantastic. Triple H did his whole fucking wah, fucking. I want to be the game. I want to be the king of kings. I want ice cream, but I can't have it. And then he thanks people. And he's just getting himself over. That's all he's fucking doing. He's nothing but a fucking heat fucking vacuum. He just wants all of the attention. He's such a whore. And that's the problem that, like, Oh, man. He's going to run this company. He really is. And I worry about it. Like, I really hope he breaks something severely. And it's such a terrible thing to say. But I really hope he does something severely. And he, I mean, he rips his fucking quad in half, and that's not good enough. But something that makes him actually go, no, I can't come back. Because he's going to build to that Vince moment. Now I'm owning the company for a year and a half, and now I'm going to wrestle the best. The most over guy in the business, and I'm gonna win. Like, damn, where do we go? It's just ridiculous. I don't know. I'm not a fan of the Triple H thing altogether, and the fact that he has the power and he's such a mark for himself and putting himself into fucking things. It's just. He's the big league version of DJ, and I've said it before. A guy who does more harm than good to the fucking company he's in because he has power. Because he has his stroke and he has the ability to do whatever he wants to do with it, he's going to make himself a focus and force himself down people's throats even though no one wants to see him. Now, Triple H obviously has a higher status, a higher credibility, and there are more people that want to see him. But in the same token, if he disappeared and played a background role and just did the ownership role and just put on great fucking shows, no one would be like, I fucking miss Triple H. Wouldn't happen. Again, DJ, nobody ever says, I wish DJ would wrestle on this card. No one wants to see a DJ Hyde match ever. Fucking ever. Ever. And again, I've made a complete credence. I will not pay a fucking dollar for a show if you put yourself on the main event, you fat, unathletic fucking hack. You were never booked that way by anybody else but yourself. Now that you own a company, you're going to book yourself on the main event because, oh, guess what? I own a company. Yeah. John Zandig earned that fucking reputation before he ever did it to himself. Didn't really put himself over there as the world champion very much. Didn't really put himself over as a tournament of death champion until it came into like a crazy situation. And he's still pulling that off. Wasn't his gig. He knew it. He understood it. You don't get it. You're just trying to build a fucking reputation for you to tell other people that you did. But when you booked it, it's not worth shit. I owned a company, and I called all the shots. Okay, you called all the shots. Not, hey, I was with a company, and they had the most faith in the world in me, and I was their fucking go-to guy. And I made all the best moves that made that company successful, and that fucking boss made sure that I was the fucking highest paid employee because I did so much to make that company the best. That's not something you could ever say in your life, DJ. You will never be the fucking MVP of any fucking company. Now, I mean, if you hold the book and you're the main event, and or not the main event, you're the fucking owner, oh, you can put shit together. You can pull people into that locker room and stuff like that. But if you're just an independent worker as a wrestler, you will never in your life be the main event. Not even main event, because obviously you could book yourself into a main event and some shitty card. But the MVP, the actual guy who draws crowds, the dude that everybody wants to see, the dude that if somebody said this company is so successful and it's because of blank, would not be filled with DJ Hyde unless you filled it with money first. So, and it's just it, man. And again, I got lots of love for CCW. You know, I got lots of love for a lot of things that go on. And I have no problem with giving you credit as some of the moves that you've done as an owner. You need to stop it with the wrestling thing because you're a fucking horrendous wrestler. Horrible. No one wants to see it. Ever. You booked yourself in the main event. Guess who didn't buy it? Me. Won't buy it. Refuse. I'll see it, and I promise you I won't pay for it. you know. But again, you know, just the little wired shit you put out there, it clearly exposed your booking as fucking horrendous. The Joker's a bad guy. Fucking the crowd is exploding with Joker chants, and Listen, I think I'm done for tonight. I mean, I've done fucking 2.5 hours, for Christ's sakes. I didn't expect to do that. I just really didn't. I'm going to play another fucking track. I'll be back on Wednesday. Oh, man, hopefully I have my boy Lee back. Lee, fucking, and all that, because that's my motherfucker right there. Cuzzo, and I'm going to play a Pace One track and my outro. And, oh, actually, before I do that, let me try to find my homeboys over there at the Wrestling Soup. Check them the fuck out on Thursday nights, 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Yeah, definitely. That's Wrestling Soup right there. Definitely check out the Sports Den on Wednesday nights. It's like 10 something. Check them the fuck out. Women Love Wrestling too. Wednesday nights. I just pumped shit out of everything on the same night as me. I don't care, because they're great shows. That's why. I'll tell you. Catch it all on the archive. Catch me on the archive. Listen to them live. I don't give a fuck. Catch us all. Make sure you catch us all. That's all I got to say. Two Moms, One Show. Tuesday nights. I snapped off on the motherfucking sound drops last week. So if you like that, hit me up. If you don't, hit me up. I don't know. I don't know. We're really still experimenting and just trying to get everything right. They have a lot of followers. They, you know, people really enjoy that. Check them out. Stern Nation, as they played the fucking commercial earlier. Fantastic stuff. Check them out as well. I think that's all I got to go with. Check out Yolanda at the Shiznet on Thursday nights. And she's got the gimmick tees. She got that sweet-ass fucking wellness policy shirt with Bane all juiced up and says wellness policy on it. Sweet shit, man. Hit her up, man. She does good work. She did all my shirts. Love that chick. So, yeah, definitely check everybody the fuck out that I just said. I'm going to hit you with another track, and then I'm going to fucking turn it down. All right, good night. Check me out on Wednesdays. Peace.
Hey, listen, I have a record I want you to play. Don't you think the kids would enjoy a nice song with a melody?
What you got, Holmes?
It is a rare, one-of-a-kind original pressing.
This is the world premiere. Rock a block.
Pacer, full clip, one up in the chamber. Danger, ask you what you want, what's the flavor? I got 35 when I signed with a major. Invested 29.8, spent the changer. Never been the type to take advice from a stranger. Gun next to me like my neighbor. Stay tough, spit the hot shit to get the paper. I roll with more force than Darth Vader. Let's see what you made up. To hip hop heads, I'm like a savior. Nigga that ball like Big Pun, but don't wanna be a player. This year I'll declare war on the mayor. Like all my niggas out the devil player, or I spray ya. Park y'all here, spark y'all fears. Man without a dog on care, walk on air. Check before I mark y'all gear, call y'all quit. Go back 34 more years, all y'all scared. Terrorist niggas want the bomb, I'm here. Quick the cop pop me in they CD-ROM and scare. Even if our clicks don't get along, who care? You still be glaring at the clothes me and my crew wear. You need to lighten up, digest a few beers before you end up meeting the man you do fear. This year I declare war on the mayor. Like my niggas out the devil player, or I spray ya. Niggas thought they couldn't be beat, no love. Think it's all good when we speak? No sir. The fact that I'm usually deep in most clubs, you know what's going down when I'm creeping close up. You nondescript niggas might sneak and throw duds, but when the bomb go off, those who sleeping woke up. Cock my heat back and blow slugs, making you gangsters retreat and grow bud. My outsider posse, meet and show fuck. What hip hop was like where we had to grow up.
This year I declare war on the mayor. Like all my niggas out the devil's lair, or I pray ya. Rock a block. Outside.
Wow.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.